Under the stars at the corner of St. George and Harvard, this is CIUT 89.5. I'm Andy Berry.
I'm Kevin Sylvester. I didn't see any stars, just clouds.
The stars are sitting at the microphones,
oh, that's
Kevin.
A good call.
And we are Toronto Unlocked. The music of Ritmo Flamenco being made live here at CIUT, where we are for the last time this morning. But today we're not in the little studio on the third floor. Yes, we are outside in the parking lot. We've got a stage. We've got bands on it. We've got breakfast. We want you to come join us. This is a visual treat. Ritmo Flamenco is all dressed and making a great visual as well as auditory show. You want to be here. Race down in your jammies. Just slide on your bunny rabbit slippers and come on down.
Yeah, if you want to give the kids some food, there's some muffins and stuff over there. And speaking of kids, we've got one who's just sitting to our left here who's going to join us in a second, a 12-year-old who hosts a segment here on Friday afternoons. Yes, more from Ritmo Flamenco coming up. So it's going to be a packed show.
We've been here for the last 3 weeks of Toronto Unlocked. It's been wonderful. We'll be reflecting on that and reviewing some of the highlights. Have there been anything but highlights for the last 3 weeks? And for the last time here this morning, you'll hear from some of the Locked Out CBC employees who've been volunteering their time here on Toronto Unlocked. Jesse Wendy will be in with a film review. Tom Harrington will drop by to talk hockey with Kevin. Louise Linton is preparing her business report. And, of course, Jill Dempsey is here with news. Flamenco.
It's getting hotter out here.
While your hands are being put together, one round of applause for Doris Bradley, who lives down the street. Doris decided, I think there's a frat house in Doris's house within 3 blocks of here. She decided as long as she's going to be woken up anyway, she'd come down here with her knitting. I thought it was Madame Defarge, frankly. Knitting names. Possible managers, I don't know. Anyway, Doris, welcome. You're our first guest, our first audience this morning. Let's hear it for Doris.
Thank you.
And let's hear from Jill Dempsey with news.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hurricane Rita is now bearing down on the U.S. Gulf Coast and is expected to wash ashore tonight or tomorrow. Rita will cause major damage to wherever it lands, but just where that will be is still a mystery. The storm, now at Category 4 intensity, has changed course slightly and may spare Houston a direct hit. But it's aiming right now for the Texas-Louisiana border area, which means New Orleans could be swamped again. Rita's winds are over 220 kilometers an hour. The rain expected could be too much for New Orleans' shattered levee system. And to make matters worse, Rita's expected to cause a storm surge as much as 6 meters high. 2 million Texans are now on the move as Houston empties itself onto the interstate. But traffic has been moving so slowly that people are running out of gas. Some are so frustrated with the slow pace that they're turning around, preferring to sit out the storm at home. Rita hasn't even hit, and it's already getting the blame for a spike in gas prices. The cost of crude has topped $66 U.S. a barrel this morning, though that's lower than the $70 record set when Hurricane Katrina hit. One-fifth of U.S. refineries are in Rita's warning zone. Here in Ontario, the price at the pumps is fluctuating wildly. Some stations were charging more than $2 a liter yesterday. Others were a dollar less. Premier Dalton McGuinty is calling on the Federal Competition Bureau to conduct an investigation. The man accused of killing Alicia Ross was denied bail yesterday. 31-year-old Daniel Sylvester surrendered to police on Wednesday. The remains of the missing 25-year-old Markham woman were located later. Sylvester was Alicia Ross' next-door neighbor. He's described by his lawyer as remorseful and in a hurry to get the matter over with. He makes his next court appearance October 26th. Ontario has backed away from so-called negative option organ donation. A proposed system would have put everyone on the organ donation list, and it would have been up to individuals to take themselves off. Officials in charge of organ donation in the province say Ontarians are just not ready for such a system. And that's a look at a few of the stories we have this morning.
How do they know that?
Well, you've done so much work in that area. Perhaps you can speak to that.
We did a big documentary on the subject of organ donation and this presumed consent, which is the case all over the world.
Yes.
We're not ready for. How? Anyway.
I think because people don't talk about it and people need
to talk about it. That's why I'm talking about it. Kevin's going to rescue me from talking about it further.
Shall I throw some weather at you?
Please. Let's have some weather, please, Kevin.
All right. Hold on a second. Let me lick my finger. It's windy and a little bit cooler this morning, as we expected, but the rain has stayed away. It's actually a gorgeous day to come down and see us out here. Ritmo Flamenco over there shivering but warming things up whenever they play. Now, it's going to be not so warm today, probably a high of 19 or 20, but sunny. Similar tomorrow, a little bit warmer. Sunday's the day that we have to worry a little bit about, of course, with word on the street happening at Queen's Park. There are predicted to be some showers, some warmer temperatures, but some showers there.
We just want you to know we're fair weather. We're fair weather friends.
Oh, you're only going to show up.
Those of us who are coming down are fair weather friends.
We do have a booth at Word on the Street on Sunday, and you can come check us out there. Our Toronto Unlocked crew is going to be there, including Jim Curran.
Yes.
Look at the roads.
We'll look at the roads right now. Morning, everyone.
I didn't know you were that good-looking in person.
On the radio, yeah, absolutely. Very quiet start to the morning, and, of course, we'll remind everyone we're on St. George, if you can come over. Parking is certainly a problem, so if you can, if you're on the campus, obviously you can walk over, ride your bike, that's not a problem. Or take TTC, of course, if you get off at the St. George station, walk down St. George. If you get to Harvard, look back. That group that's under the tent in the parking lot, that was us. And we look forward to seeing everyone. But right now, a good quiet start to the morning.
And with a look at sports, hello, Sean.
Hello, everyone. The Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Montreal Canadiens in their first encounter in about, seems like a zillion years. 4-3, the final score last night. In golf at the President's Cup down there in Virginia, the international team is ahead of the Americans after day one, and Mike Weir with a quite a good day. And the Blue Jays won as well. The Chicago White Sox continuing to experience a late-season nightmare, losing last night. So that and more coming up in sports after the half hour.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Mm. What are they? We don't have a clock. What happened to the little old clock radio?
Wait, I have a digital watch.
The clock on the wrist says
it's 6:06.
Mine says 6:09. Why don't we sort of settle it at 6:07?
Somebody messed with my watch, obviously.
One of the really delightful things about our time here at CIUT has been meeting all the volunteers here. Hosts, technicians, DJs, very bright, ambitious people, most of them a few decades younger than I am, a couple even a decade or two older. Quite an interesting spread of folks. This morning we're going to meet the very youngest CIUT volunteer. Kabir Joshi Vijayan is a 12-year-old. Starting next Friday, he is hosting a monthly segment on the CIUT program, Voices of the Movement. Kabir is sitting next to me. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Wonderful to have you here. Tell me about Voices of the Movement. What kind of show is it?
Well, Voices of the Movement is mostly a political show. It's about current events, and it's mostly about the voices from the peace movement, from the nuclear disarmament movement, everything that's going on in the world now. It's the voices from that.
How'd you get this gig?
Well, I've been to a lot of lectures by the International Socialists, and at one of the lectures, Aisha and Tom approached me, the two hosts of the show, and they, I guess they wanted a youth perspective, and so they asked if I wanted to go on, and it coincidentally it was at a time where I wanted to really expand on my part in the movement, and so I was really excited. My part in the movement, so like
in the peace movement.
Yes, yeah. So I want to be more active, and I was really excited about it.
Wow. Tell me about your own politics and how you came to them.
Well, I've always been an environmentalist.
You're 12.
So when you say always,
when does always begin?
We since I was like maybe 5 or 6, I've loved animals.
Wow.
And so then when I in about grade 3 and 4, I joined a club at my school called the Green Club, and we talked about environmental issues. And then through that, I learned that not only are we depleting and exploiting our natural environment, but we're depleting and exploiting our planet as well, and the people that live in it. So it just...
It's impressive. When the host of the show came and talked to you, what did you say to them that impressed them enough to say, we should put this guy on the air?
I think it wasn't really. I asked a question at the meeting, and they thought that I was I was young, first of all, and so they wanted that perspective. And they thought I made some good points.
What was the question?
I asked. It was a lecture on Katrina, and my comment and my question was that we should really push on this point now. On September 24th, there's going to be a protest on the anniversary of the war in Iraq, and so I said that we should really push the issue of Katrina, and if it's important, maybe it's little things that will bring, you know, the empire down. Like I gave the example of Richard Nixon and the Watergate scandal. A third-rate robbery was the thing that brought his presidency down, so I thought maybe, a hurricane could be bringing Bush down.
I got to tell you that for someone your age, Watergate would be seriously ancient history. Now, where did you pick up the phrase third-rate burglary?
I watched the movie Nixon by Oliver Stone a few weeks prior the meeting, so I was a little bit, I had the terminology ready.
When you go to school and your other 12-year-old friends, do you guys talk about these things, or are you somehow different?
I don't think many of the other kids have seen Nixon, the movie. I don't think.
Well, I think if they there's a lot of interest with them, and if they could, maybe they would. It's just that there's not. I think it's with everyone, like even adults. A lot of adults, they know about what's going on, but they don't go that extra active step to do it. So that we do talk about it, but they don't go on. They know what's wrong, but they don't go to the protests. They don't go to the lectures and things.
I met your mom over there a little while ago. I'm wondering what the dinner table conversation is like at your place. What do you get into?
The dinner table conversation is mostly watching TV, so it's not much of a conversation. But we,
I think you'd monopolize it probably if there was one. What are your ambitions? I mean, you're 12 now. You've got a radio show to be on. Where do you think this is all going to take you? Do you?
I'm for sure. I'd like to continue in the movement. I'm not sure if broadcasting is the way I'll go, but maybe
you want to settle for real power, right? Not broadcasting. Do you think you're going to politics?
One of the points I've set for myself is I'm not going to be part of the system, so I'm not going to go into a government until there's some kind of revolution or something where a government in place is one that I agree with. And the system in place is one that I agree with, so I'll probably be still in the movement, either in broadcasting or maybe I'll be maybe in a form of art. I've met someone named Tim.
One of the people we were unable to get this morning, unfortunately, is Michael Ignatieff, who's just coming back to the University of Toronto. Have you ever met him?
No, I haven't.
We're going to get the two of you on the air one day. I would like to hear I'm serious, by the way, and not not just. To be clever, I'd like to hear Kabir and Michael just discuss the issues. Good luck with the broadcast career and all the other careers that come after.
Thank you. Thank you both of you, Mr. Barry.
Wonderful. Thank you. Kabir is telling me he hopes things work out at the CBC and we're back on the air. Thank you, Kabir.
I don't know. I don't want to be part of that system anymore.
Hard line to follow, Kevin.
There we go.
This is Toronto Unlocked, where it's 14 minutes, I think, after 6. That's what my watch on my wrist says. That's 12-year-old Kabir Joshi Vijayan. He is a contributor to the Voices of the Movement, which airs Friday at 5 on CIUT. One of the many voices we hope that people who may not have known about CIUT and their programming before all this began will be listening to. I am certain to be tuned in 5 p.m. on Fridays to listen to Kabir.
And that was the future, I guess you could say, of CIUT and of broadcasting and the political movement in Canada. Leanda Quinkett is its present. Every day we've welcomed a different CIUT host on with us to tell us about their show. And Leanda hosts About the Music.
About the Music.
Which is also on Fridays from 3 to 5.
Yeah.
So you're the lead-in to
Voices
of the Movement.
That's right.
So that must be... So I guess we sort of flipped the lineup a little bit today. Tell us about your show on CIUT.
About the Music has been on air for about 2 years. It's a music show. Basically, we cover music from... We focus on Canada and Toronto, but we also focus obscure stuff from other countries that you may not hear everywhere else on radio. Music from... We have Japanese pop,
Japanese pop's actually starting to gain momentum on the side of...
Oh, yeah, it's getting quite popular. Yeah, and rock. We have stuff from Ireland, a lot of music from Ireland. I spend quite a bit of time there. So
I can hear a little bit of Ireland in your voice.
Yeah, actually, that happens. So. A lot of Irish friends. Yes, I've been in Canada for almost 10 years, and it's still
a touch there.
Yeah. Don't lose the accent.
Yeah, so I've been told. It's
part of the music on your show is that voice.
Well, I don't know. But so we do that. And then we also have a lot of interviews. Like weekly, we have interviews with artists, whether they be independent artists from Toronto or visiting artists from Vancouver or Montreal. And they talk about their music, play the music. So, it's quite an interesting show.
What's some of the stuff you're going to have on the show tonight?
This
afternoon?
This afternoon, yeah, 3 to 5.
It's when I get up at 4 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon is night.
Oh,
so it wasn't...
I hear you. Yeah. No, we used to have a show before this, which was Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. So it's a Saturday morning, 7 to 9. But anyway, this week we have Laura Veers from Seattle. She's going to be doing an interview with Jeanette in the first hour of the show. Jeanette is Cabrera's, my co-host. Black Dice, we're doing an interview with them too. They're from Brooklyn. They're like an experimental
Brooklyn,
noise.
Ontario, or Brooklyn, New York?
Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
Experimental.
Two very different Brooklyns, but go on.
Experimental noise band from Brooklyn. And then we have Pernell Gunvad, and she's actually an artist from Denmark who has flown here specifically to do Pop Montreal. So she's doing a few days in Toronto. So we're going to be doing an interview with her and listening to her new record as well.
Leandra, what world do you inhabit when you're not doing work on CIUT? Because people from the volunteers here come from so many different spaces and places. What do you do?
I have a multitude of jobs. I work on Toronto Island as a waitress. I also work at a world music store.
Where? Plug it.
Sunrise.
Sunrise, okay.
Yeah. I have many, many jobs. I just graduated from radio and television arts at Ryerson University.
Oh, sure.
So we're actually in the process of looking for another job.
Well,
instead of 7 jobs, we want 1 job.
Jim Curran's a fellow Ryerson. Use him as a contact.
Oh, okay.
He might be your foot in the door.
Good
Who knows?
Stuff.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Toronto's an interesting... I mean, do you find having moved to Canada and Toronto that you've seen over that... what did you say? 10 years ago, I think, right? That you've seen a development? We talk a lot about, for example... culinary tastes have changed so much, it becomes so international. Hmm. Is this a hotbed now? Is this a...
Oh, definitely with music. I think it's it's getting more, international music is getting more exposure, and shows like my show, make that happen. I used to do community radio in Ottawa as well for about 5 years, and I saw the same thing there as well. So, yeah, things are definitely changing and getting more, accepted.
Hmm. What's your favorite music when you're just hanging out yourself? What are you most likely to stick into the slot?
I'm into this. It's kind of like folk music. It's called Folktronica. It's like
Folktronica?
That's right. It's madness.
Is that with harmonicas? Or?
It's a mixture of like electronic influences and then traditional folk. And it's taking... Oh, dear.
My script just went.
Say?
We're going to talk to you now for the next 3/4 of an hour. The script just blew away.
Quick weather report. It's windy enough to blow my scripts off.
That's
table.
A new genre, by the way.
Yes, it is a new
Thank
genre.
Thank you so much. Folktronica. Thank you for introducing us to that, and I'm sure to so many other things when we listen to your show later on this afternoon.
Good stuff.
Come visit us someday at the other place.
Oh, I shall.
When they let us back in.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you.
Leandra Quinkett hosts About the Music here on CIUT 89.5 FM every Friday from 3 to 5. This is Toronto Unlocked. We are welcoming you to join us. The people who have already arrived, you are so lucky, because not only are we going to listen to some fabulous music right now, we're going to see some fabulous music. Ritmo Flamenco wrote the theme for Toronto Unlocked that we've been listening to at the top of every hour for the last 3 weeks. They performed it live on our first show. They're our musical guests this hour. They are Roger and Valerie Scananura, and their daughter is dancing with Valerie. They are... I'm about to say two peas in the pod, but CBC folks never get that cliched. Just look at these two faces. Beautifully dressed, by the way. Thank you for joining us, Angelica. Rogers plays the acoustic guitar. Valerie is the group's dancer. Kevin Smith plays the caja drum and also happens to be Valerie's brother. And Lawrence Stevenson is the only member who is not part of the family. He plays the violin. He is part of our family. He's a locked-out radio producer with the program Out Front. Let's have a hand for all of them, and let's listen and watch Ritmo Flamenco. you got here early enough to join us for Toronto Unlocked, you'll be able to say you were here for that show.
That was fantastic. Can I just point out something I thought was kind of neat? Was Kevin watching your guys' feet to make sure that his drum beat was exactly in tune with the dancing steps? That was incredible.
The dancers are controlling all the music. That's why we brought them, even though you can't see them on the radio. It's hard for us to play without dancers around.
They set everything for you guys.
They set everything, the tempo, the stops, the starts, the whole thing.
Now, is there a sort of a story behind that in the flow of the music? They're women, you're men. I think I'm being very obvious.
Well, the point of it all is that, like, flamenco is over 500 years old, and guitar is only 100 years old. It was the last thing to join in, so the guitarist has the least say, even though the flamenco guitar is the most well-known of all the parts of it.
I want to point out, by the way, that Valerie and Angelica are breathing really hard right now. You're trying to control it, but there's a lot of oxygen. That's hard work, isn't it? Yes, she's nodding at me. No microphone for... Lawrence, how you been doing during the lockout?
I'm doing just fine. Yeah. I'm doing a lot of music.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing the fiddle and the music to us today. It's wonderful hearing you people. Thank you so much for our theme song for the last 3 weeks.
No problem.
And we'll be seeing you again. Thanks so much.
Thanks
Bye.
For having us.
Ritmo Flamenco. Gracias. This is Toronto Unlocked. It's dark and early, as Joe Cote used to say. We're waiting for the sun to come up at the corner of St. George and Harvard. If you can join us, the parking lot at CIUT has got lots of room for spectators. If you're driving by on St. George, entering the University of Toronto campus from Bloor or Harvard, beep as you go by. Honk for public broadcasting. We'd love to hear from you. Once the sun comes up, Kevin, what's the weather going
to
be?
Well, the weather's supposed to be obviously a little bit cooler today. Everybody can feel that as they're waking up. But it's supposed to be sunny. There's a few clouds in the air, but they're blowing through, and we should have a high of about 19 or 20 degrees. Similar day tomorrow, about 24 degrees, I think, was the top level that they were predicting. Sunday's the day we have to worry a little bit about, of course. Word on the streets going on at Queen's Park. We have our Toronto Unlocked booth where you can come see us at the northeast corner. I'll be there. Jim will be there. You'll be there.
Yep,
Jill. Tom Allen, who's here, is going to drop by.
Michael Enright.
Evan Sullivan. Yep. There's a whole group of us who are going to be there throughout the day. So the reason I mention that in the weather is they are a little bit worried that some rain, maybe even a thunderstorm, might move in later in the day on Sunday.
Rain, rain, go away. Come again another day.
That's right. Luckily, my book's a paperback, so you can just let it soak and dry up within minutes.
Now, it's not every day that Jim Curran gets serenaded on our airwaves, much less finds himself the subject of a song. But it happened last week. This is on Billboard 23 with a bullet right now. The Choir Girls joined us in CIET Studios. They were musical guests on Toronto Unlocked, and this is what they had to say and sing about Jim.
Good old Jim, the traffic guy, he's on CIUT. He's up before the sun does rise, helping you and me to get to work, to get to school, to get from A to B. That's good old Jim, the traffic guy, he's on CIUT. That's good old Jim, the traffic guy. He's on CIUT.
Hey.
The new
Thank
official
you.
Theme music.
Here
Jim.
He is, star of stage, screen, and radio, Jim Curran. Take it away.
And thank you, Choir Girls. That was wonderful. We have a look through the eyes of provincial police. A couple of problems on the 401. Eastbound 401 at Highway 400 in the express. Some vehicles on the side, so a caution through there. It is slow. And westbound 401 express lanes past Markham Road, a collision short time ago. Vehicles there have been blocking the left lane. Thanks to the geology department. I think, was it the geology department that brought our paperweights?
Yes, thank you very much.
some shale.
They loaned us their pet rocks.
Yeah, the wind's been blowing our scripts around a little bit, so we chipped some bricks off the side of the
street. Souvenirs.
I think this came from Robarts across the street, as a matter of fact.
I have an IKEA candle holder.
There we are.
Excellent. That's nice. And we also have this one.
Or wait.
No, you gotta. There we go. Yeah.
Excuse me, room 27. Speaking of souvenirs.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, speaking of souvenirs, we're running over a little bit.
What?
I think.
I gotta synchro my watch. Obviously, we're fine.
We're fine.
That's Michelle with the Michelle Parise with the talkback.
Studio director.
We're fine.
Got lots of time. Chill.
The outdoor talkback.
If you are chilling and you'd like to get dressed up, we have Toronto Unlocked CIUT T-shirts. This is just wonderful. Lars Pronin, one of the people who's been working with us all the last 3 weeks, actually designed this wonderful logo. Please notice the CBC logo with a unlocked sort of hasp on it.
Yeah, as if it were the lock you might have on your locker, for example.
And you can actually purchase these T-shirts. You were there. You can tell your grandchildren. We also have buttons for a buck.
All to help CIUT, which, of course, is a volunteer and participation driven radio station that we have been honored to be a part of for the past 3 weeks.
That guy's Kevin Sylvester. I'm Andy Berry. I spy with my eye a Sheila Rogers over there, a Tom Allen. Hi, Sheila. Hello. Hi, Tom. We'll drag them kicking and screaming to the microphone a little later, but we'll get to news that's next of CIUT 89.5 Toronto.
Good morning. Hurricane Rita is bearing down on the U.S. Gulf Coast and is expected to wash ashore tonight or tomorrow. Rita will cause major damage to wherever it lands, but just where that will be is still a mystery. The storm, now at Category 4 intensity, has changed course slightly and may spare Houston a direct hit. But it's aiming right now for the Texas-Louisiana border area, which means New Orleans could be swamped again. Rita's winds are over 220 kilometers an hour. The rain expected could be too much for New Orleans' shattered levee system. And to make matters worse, Rita is expected to cause a storm surge as much as 6 meters high. 2 million Texans are on the move as Houston emptied itself onto the interstate. But traffic has been moving so slowly that people are running out of gas. And some are so frustrated with the slow pace that they're turning around, preferring to sit out the storm at home. U.S. President George W. Bush is going to Texas today to check on preparations for Rita. His administration took a serious PR hit over its botched response when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. Environmentalists fear that there could be an ecological disaster if Rita hits the heart of the Texas gas industry. In addition to the many oil rigs and drilling platforms in the Gulf, there are 87 chemical and petroleum installations along the coast. Rita hasn't even hit, and it's already getting the blame for a spike in gas prices. The cost of crude has topped $66 U.S. a barrel this morning, though that's lower than the $70 record set when Hurricane Katrina hit. One-fifth of U.S. refineries are in Rita's warning zone. Here in Ontario, the price at the pumps is fluctuating wildly. Some stations were charging more than $2 a liter yesterday. Others were a dollar less. Premier Dalt McGuinty is calling on the Federal Competition Bureau to conduct an investigation. The price changes have caused panic buying at some stations and overheated tempers. One man was reportedly arrested over a fight involving a crowbar after someone butted into a gas station queue. The widow of one of the suspected London suicide bombers is talking about the state of her husband's mind at the time of the attacks. Samantha Luthwaite said that her husband's point of view was influenced and poisoned by contacts with radical mosques. Her husband, Jermaine Lindsay, had been visiting mosques in London, Luton, and Northern England. Lindsay is suspected of detonating the bomb that killed 26 people on the Piccadilly Underground line on July 7th. In all, there were 4 attacks on the London transit system that day. 52 passengers and 4 bombing suspects were killed. Britain's largest Islamic group, an umbrella for more than 400 affiliated mosques and organizations, has condemned the attacks. A Toronto police officer should find out today whether he will go to jail for a beating that was caught on video. Constable Roy Preston was convicted in July of assaulting Saeed Jama Jama. The Crown is asking for jail time, saying Preston tried to cover up the incident by charging Jama Jama with assaulting a police officer. That charge was later dropped. The man accused of killing Alicia Ross was denied bail yesterday. 31-year-old Daniel Sylvester surrendered to police on Wednesday. The remains of the missing 25-year-old Markham woman were located later. Sylvester was Alicia Ross's next-door neighbor. He's described by his lawyer as remorseful and in a hurry to get the matter over with. He makes his next court appearance on October 26th. The OPP has reopened its investigation into the 1959 murder of 12-year-old Lynn Harper. Stephen Truscott was convicted of her killing, but last October, the federal justice minister found there had been a miscarriage of justice. The Ontario Court of Appeal is now considering what to do with the case. Truscott was originally sentenced to death, but that was commuted to life in prison. Truscott was paroled in 1969. And Ontario has backed away from so-called negative option organ donation. A proposed system would have put everyone on the organ donation list, and it would have been up to individuals to take themselves off. Officials in charge of organ donation in the province say Ontarians are just not ready for such a system. And that's a look at some of the stories we have. We're looking at a time of about 6:35.
On the campus of the University of Toronto, we'll be welcomed officially to it, and I guess bid fond farewell by David Naylor, the new president of the University of Toronto. Dr. Naylor will be joining us a little later. We've got some fabulous music for you. Ron Sexsmith is going to be joining us with Don Kerr. Eliana Cuevas is going to be here a little later on. In just a few moments, we're going to wish a happy birthday, a 10th birthday to one of our neighbors up St. George Street. The Bataschu Museum is celebrating its 10th birthday this year. They've got a great story to tell us that's coming up.
Flamenco shoes might find their way into the Bataschu Museum.
They might.
Maybe the ones that Ritmo Flamenco used just moments ago here on the stage.
And speaking of brilliant musicianship, we're going to hear from the Earl Scruggs of the sports world. Sean Foley is going to be delivering one of his banjo moments in just a few moments. Kevin,
shall I give you just a quick look at the weather? Can I mention one more weird little musical thing? Michelle's looking at me like I'm stalling here. Over behind us is a rack of electronic equipment that says property of the Mo Kaufman Quartet. So there you go. It's even history that's on part of the show today.
Isn't that interesting?
You can hear Sean moving the microphone so he can both talk and play at the same time. I'll just quickly mention it's obviously cool and windy this morning. It's going up to a high of about 19 or 20, but sunny. Similar kind of day tomorrow. On Sunday, it's going to warm up, but they're also predicting some showers. And then the big question is, do they move in before or after word on the street, which goes Sunday from 11 until 6. How windy is it? Well, I had a half full cup of water, which is now on Jill's lap. So I'll get rid of that. Sorry, Jill.
A week ago today, I wasn't around. I was off that day. So I had a chance to listen on the radio to the moment we're about to listen to, which you may have been so unfortunate to have missed as well. Sean delivered one of the more memorable moments of Toronto Unlocked with his banjo sportscast. This was last Friday. Matt Galloway and Maureen Taylor were hosting that morning. Here's their exchange with Sean and the guest who came afterwards.
The Stamps QB is out for a few weeks after thumb surgery. That's kind of a bluesy thing for you there. The Ticats may be 2-9, but they still pack them in at Ivor Wynn.
Talking sports blues there, Sean Foley.
Thank you.
That was lovely.
And you're listening to Toronto Unlocked here at CIUT. Experts in health law and policy from across the country are in Toronto today. The opening speaker will be the Honourable Roy Romano. He was head of the Commission on the Future of Healthcare in Canada. He joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Romano.
Good morning, Maureen. May I say, first of all, that Sean's tremendous ability to banjo indicates to me that this CBC lockout has got to come to an end.
If nothing else.
If for no other reason.
Well, no, it's more than that. Canada really, really misses the CBC.
So Sean's back.
I'm sure he meant it well.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah. You're back to do your bit to end the lockout again, then, obviously.
Yeah, well, you know, it's time to stand up or sit down.
Sit down with a banjo.
Play the banjo.
Last seen in a rocking chair in the motion picture Deliverance.
The poor banjo just can't shake that
image. I know, just can't get a break. It's unbelievable.
So you're going to do the sports for us with the banjo again today, Sean?
Am.
Shall we hear it?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
All right. Now, this is something I just invented last Friday, so see if we can improve on it a little bit. Here we go. We'll start with hockey. Well, the Leafs and Habs had at it last night, and the final went to the blue and white. It was 4-3. With young Kyle Wellwood, the hero of the night. Who? He's trying to make the team. He's a kid. He's great. He had 2 goals. And how about the guy everyone's been watching? Well, Steve Thomas carved a notch in, but he didn't... Thank you very much. He didn't impress himself. That's right. Try the donuts. They're super. Bad for you. Now, Thomas didn't impress himself, though. He said, my 13-year-old could have scored that goal. But all we got to say is, go, Stumpy, go.
sporting news. I got that good old sporting news. Well, the baseball. The Blue Jays beat the Mariners last night, 7-5, thanks to an Alex Rios home run drive. Now they're heading to the Bronx, and then to Beantown, where the Yanks are atop the AL East. I always give them an E minor. Bummer, man. And the White Sox just can't seem to slay the beast. They lost again last night to the Twins, and hungry Cleveland got the win. That means they're just a game and a half back of the pennant in the Central Division. News, that's sporting news. Well, I got that good old sporting news. Well, tonight it's the Argos in Saskatchewan. Toronto's had 2 weeks rest. And Marcus Crandall will be put to the test against the Argos. He gets the start for the Riders. Bashir Livingston won't be in. He was suspended for that helmet throw back in Hamilton, don't you know? News, that's sporting news. Well, I got that good old sporting news. And finally in golf, well, a little team play. The rest of the world against the USA. Sound familiar? Actually, it's not the entire rest of the world. It's everyone but Europe against the USA. At the President's Cup, the Internationals are up 3.5 to 2.5. And Mike Weir and partner Trevor Immelman were the best pair on the links. They easily downed, wait for it, David Toms and Stuart Sink. And there you have it, sporting news.
Appearing all this week at Alice's restaurant.
That's right, a little part-time gig.
That's right. Wow.
We'll see you again next hour, young man.
I'm allowed back?
Yes.
Okay. Great, see you then.
You have to have
popular
the
demand.
The grand piano. We expect a grand piano.
Oh, really? Oh, jeez. All right. See ya.
Sean Foley, Banjo Sports.
That was incredible.
Kevin, Jim first. We haven't heard about traffic in a little while. What's happened? First of all, the traffic on St. George Street is a little more sparse than we would like it to be. We don't need a Louisiana top backup here, but we would like to see... Oh, there he goes. Honk if you love public broadcasting.
there we go.
We didn't even set that up. We would have been forgiven if we had, but we didn't. So either drive by in your car corner, St. George and Harvard, or drop by the CIUT.
There we go again.
There's another one. Right. Jim, what's happening in other thoroughfares in Toronto?
We have an update from Provincial Police. Couple of problems in the last while. 427, caution both ways near Finch. Vehicle in the ditch in the median. Highway 9 at Airport Road, a collision there as well, and also an earlier accident on 401. Westbound 401 Express lanes past Markham Road. Short time ago, vehicles blocking part of the left lane.
And, of course, if you're driving down St. George Street, they're not honking, they're saying yay.
There we go.
Yeah. Another one. It's incredible.
Oh,
oh, and bike bells, too.
A honk mic out there.
This is Toronto Unlocked on CIUT 89.5 FM. You just heard Andy Berry and Jim Curran. I'm Kevin Sylvester, and we're joined by, for the last time on our show, locked out CBC TV business reporter Louise Martin, who was back with us for the last time this morning. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning. It's a happy, sad occasion.
Yeah, it really is. And it's neat to see the crowd fill out and people
it's
honking
great.
And everything else. So that's all.
I'm just a little worried.
Cool.
I don't have to sing the business news, do I? Because
you didn't get
didn't
the memo.
Bring my guitar.
Here, I'll accompany you on the bell.
Yeah, a dulcimer here for you. Go on.
So
I can try and rhyme it.
I guess the big story is Rita, this massive hurricane that's heading towards the Gulf Coast, and that means, I guess, oil and everything else. And
once again, it's a bit like deja vu. I think it was the first story I talked about on Toronto Unlocked.
That's right.
With Katrina. So here we are talking about gasoline prices, and I was a little upset last night as I was driving home to see the massive lineups of cars waiting to, feeling that a dollar a liter is a good bargain now. Here we go. But in some parts of the province and the country, gasoline has shot up in expectation that Houston would be hit by Rita. And Houston really is, of course, the heart of oil country in the U.S., so we're seeing a lot of fear, a lot of jitters on the market. It was already a very tight market, supply and demand, and now people are very nervous. Oil is driven psychology. It's very much a psychological impact. So as soon as the fear hits that this could happen, that Rita could hit Houston, you know, you saw this craze to fill up your tanks. Well, Actually, the price of crude oil has gone down a little bit in early trading this morning. The wholesale price of gasoline has actually gone down a little bit as well. So I'm not saying the fear is for naught, because we could indeed see Rita take another turn. Where she lands right now is hard to tell. But for now, I think it's a little bit of overblown fear. But
do they give us a rebate after if the fears were unfounded?
Yeah, right.
Gee, sorry about
we're talking
jacking up
about
the
oil companies here. Come on now. And taxes. Right. But basically, you can expect to pay. I mean, I still saw it for 99 cents down the street from where I live. But the lineup last night, it took me literally to get from one block, took me 20 minutes just because of the lineup. So, you know, I mean, you can brace for higher prices if indeed this does have another devastating effect. I mean, the bigger thing is talking about how this will impact the recovery effort in New Orleans, if in fact that is where Rita takes landfall. So.
Now, consumer spending is also something. I can't remember if we talked about that the first day or not, but let's say we did.
Yeah.
So what's an update on that one?
Well, sadly enough, I was listening to the radio the other day, and someone mentioned that there was about 93 days left to Christmas. And I thought, oh, God, we're already talking about Christmas. You know, I thought we had to wait till the first snowfall. But here we are talking about the Christmas retail season. So I talked to Deanne Breezebrough, the president and CEO of the Retail Council of Canada, and she said they're still expecting a fairly healthy Christmas spending season. Canadians are going to spend about 5% more than they did last year. But gasoline, energy prices are keeping retailers up at night.
And for every, and we're told that, for instance, heating oil could cost us something like 25 to 35% yep. more. For every buck that goes into heating our home, that's a dollar that's not going to be spent at the retail.
Exactly. Counter. She sort of outlined it for me. There's three reasons for strong retail spending: low interest rates, strong employment, and the weather. So actually, the snow will help seasonal sales, but they are keeping an eye on energy prices, because as you mentioned, every dollar taken or put back into energy and more expensive energy is taken out of general merchandise. Yeah. So she sees the middle line retailers taking a hit. The discount retailers will do quite well because people will be a little bit more spendthrifty, but then the high end, the luxury retailers, 5%. They're fine because those gasoline prices, you know, the big SUVs you see driving around, it doesn't matter to them, it seems. But it's the middle retailers that will see a difference as far as spending goes, because people will turn to the discounters, and those who already spend at Tiffany's will continue to do so.
Wouldn't you love to know how many SUVs are going to come used onto the market?
Oh,
in the next year.
But I have noticed more Prius and hybrid cars on the road.
Absolutely.
So hopefully it's a new trend.
Every automaker is pitching gas economy these days.
Exactly. There
and
we go.
Somewhere, someone will buy a Humvee today. It will actually happen.
Heaven help us. All right. Well, thanks very much for having me. It was a privilege to be a part of this. I'm thrilled, and I enjoy radio so much. I don't get to do it much anymore in television, but I love it, and you guys are great, so thank you.
We'll meet again. Who knows where, who knows when. It'll come.
We'll see you in the building at least. One day.
Andy's been trying to sneak that schlocky song onto the lineup for a whole
it's a
week
great
now.
Song.
I was waiting for Every Little Breeze Seems to Whisper Louise. I didn't get that one, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See you guys.
One of the real pleasures has not only been meeting colleagues, by the way, who a lot of us have never met before, and working with them, but also getting to know a whole new world of neighbors here on the campus of the University of Toronto. One of those neighbors threw themselves a big party last night, and we wanted to wish them a happy birthday this morning. 10 years ago, up St. George Street, corner Bloor, the Bata Shoe Museum opened its doors to the largest collection of its kind in the world. That's some 13,000 items. The museum's curator, Elizabeth Semohack, is with us this morning. She's brought a shoe with us, but we'll get to that in a little while. Happy birthday, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Now, it's either a shoe or a small watercraft.
It's actually a clog.
A clog. When Sonia Bata founded the museum, more than a few people wondered, shoes? A museum just for shoes? And when you took this job, you were a cultural historian with no special background in shoes. So educate me as you were educated in what an incredibly deep and wide world this is.
Well, one of the things that Mrs. Bata always says is, what surprises her is the human foot, no matter where you go, is basically the same. But what people decide to put on that foot is completely different all the way around the world and throughout time. And I think that that's one of the first things you notice when you see the collection. But the other thing, too, is that I've always sort of had assumed, that shoes had a very basic job to do, to get us from point A to point B comfortably, keep our feet dry and warm. But when you go down into storage, you see that, well, impracticality seems to actually be the goal of most shoes. Teetering stilettos, shoes embellished with incredible jewels. All of these things that have to do with proclaiming status over comfort.
Yeah, look at that Peter C. Newman book about Maroon. There's a whole section on the alleged Gucci collection.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was all about not practicality. It was all about status markers and what they meant.
Exactly. Mm.
Give us a sense of the range of the collection.
The collection is, as you said, has 13,000 artifacts. The oldest goes back to ancient Egypt. It's 4,500 years old. And the newest was this fall, Christian Louboutin, and it's on view right now.
Who?
Christian Louboutin. He's the hottest shoe designer.
He put the boot in Louboutin?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's my...
Oh, a great slogan.
It's too early in the morning
I'm
for
sure
that.
I'm sure he wants it, too.
I just saw Sean Foley take my job away, so I'm a little depressed this morning.
We're getting banjo lessons for Kevin after we get off the air today. Now, we're here, of course, at CIUT because we're locked out of the CBC, and we wondered whether there was a particular pair of shoes that might remind us of that management-labor disagreement scene.
Well, you know, when you mentioned this to me, I thought, what kind of shoe could I bring? So I brought a French sabot. The term sabotage seems to be connected to the history of the clog.
Let's explain that. But first of all, hold up. She's brought her white gloves with her. This is precious. So hold it up for in front of the microphone so our listeners
okay,
at home
can see
it.
This?
Yes, please. Thank you. Okay, good.
I can.
So it's a wooden clog, a sabot.
A sabot.
And the connection to the word?
Almost 200 years old.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And the connection to the word is sabotage, sabot. The story, could be apocryphal, is that French workers, very upset by industrialization, the Jacquard loom taking over, decided to throw their wooden clogs into the works and gum it up and break the machinery. And so power to the people wearing the clogs. That's sort of the connection there.
Could we borrow that clog?
No, you don't have gloves on.
That's fascinating. By the way, Lars Persson, who's one of the people who's been writing news for us all week long in the last 3 weeks, when he came from Sweden, this was only a few years ago, he went to school wearing his clogs.
Well, you know, it was a fashion statement.
It was.
In the 70s. I even wore clogs in the 70s.
I don't remember that. I can't, coming back to the present, what else are you collecting apart from that man's shoes you told us a little while ago?
Well, one of the things that's great about having a shoe museum is that we don't have a lot of competition, but that means that there aren't, you know, Sotheby's auctions dedicated just to fabulous shoes. So you're kind of always looking and trying to figure out what collections might be coming up. And so anything, basically, that comes up, I look at.
Because back when we were doing Metro Morning, I think it was called that, a little while ago, we actually interviewed a guy, and it was a new, it might even have been a new Adidas shoe or something.
Yeah.
And they only released like 100
with the technology,
on the market.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Is that the sort of thing that interests you, or is
Absolutely.
That, it is?
Uh-huh.
You don't feel co-opted. You don't feel jerked around by these people who create shoes just so...
Just so I'll buy them for the museum?
Yes, exactly.
well, I haven't really felt as though maybe there's this trend trying to get into the museum that way. But we are interested in things that are historic. We're interested in things that are cutting edge. The mandate is footwear.
Those Terry Fox shoes that just came out, did you guys
purchase?
We
have the original.
Oh.
His mother kept one half. We have half pair, and she has the other half pair.
Oh, no
kidding.
And
so we split them, yeah. Huh.
I can't help wondering because there is a...
It's on view, in fact, right now.
Is it? Oh,
yeah,
really?
It is on view.
And we'll mention that again for people who've never been to the museum, which is absolutely astonishing. I can't help wondering, given the birthday party that went on last night, what does the curator of the Bada Shoe Museum wear on her feet when she goes to this party?
Well, you know, the old saying, shoemaker's children have no shoes.
A pair of rubber bathroom clogs,
I don't have time
clogs,
to go shoe shopping.
No, you must be very self-conscious about that.
I was. It did keep me up, but I was up anyway installing the exhibition, but there was no place I could go shoe shopping. So.
I was visiting your virtual tour at BadaShoeMuseum.ca, but better yet, go visit the building itself, which is in the southwest corner of Bloor and St. George, and well attended. I mean, again, there were skeptics when it first opened. Who would want to go to a shoe museum?
It's doing really, really well. Hmm. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of visitors.
Congratulations.
Great. Thank
Our
you
best
very
to
much.
Mrs. Bata.
I'll pass it along.
Elizabeth Semohack is the curator of the Bata Shoe Museum, just up the street from CIUT, again at Bloor and St. George. Or once more, you can take their virtual tour at BataShoeMuseum.ca.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto Community Radio Station. Available across Canada on Sarah Choice National Satellite Service, Channel 826, and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
Just wanted to update you on the weather. The sun's out. Everybody applauded that one. Going up to a high of 19, should be about cool, and the wind should die down a little bit later today.
The film festival might have ended last week, but already some of the films from the festival are opening on screens everywhere, including the latest from Toronto director David Cronenberg. Our Unlocked film critic, Jesse Wente, has joined us to talk about A History of Violence. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
This is one of the movies that received so much attention at the festival. It's been described as Cronenberg's most commercial film. And I guess the first question is whether that's a good thing.
I think it is, Andy, because, I mean, a filmmaker like Cronenberg, who has such a strong and distinct cinematic identity, both visually and thematically, can really elevate a genre movie, and this is what this is. I mean, it's a film noir, sort of a modern noir, based on a graphic novel. It seems a lot of movies these days are based on graphic novels. It stars Viggo Mortensen. We all remember him from Lord of the Rings. He plays a small-town guy in Indiana named Tom who runs a diner. He lives with his wife and two kids until one day their idyllic little life is interrupted when two thugs come into the diner and stick it up. And Tom defends it and kills the two thugs in self-defense. He's praised for his heroism, but at the same time, his actions attract a different type of attention as some gangsters, led by Ed Harris, who has this vicious scar on his face, show up into town and claim that Tom isn't who he says he is at all, and that he's in fact Joey, this gangster from the big city, and that no one ever at all expected it. And the film plays on the idea that the wife, his two children, don't know anything actually about this guy who's lived with them for the past 20 years. And it slowly unravels and the violence spreads. His son gets into a fight at school defending someone, and Tom's heroism turns into something quite a bit different, something much darker. It's a sort of a brilliant take on violence in modern society.
Darest I ask whether a film with violence in it is going to play well in the States?
Well,
no, they don't like that kind of thing.
No. And this one has violence and sex, Andy, so can't go wrong with that.
Well, the sex will be censored out. The violence will survive.
That's right. Sure. I think it will. I hope it finds an American audience, certainly more than any of Cronenberg's weirder movies of the past 15 years will. And it really is a film about America, so it would be a good film for them to see. And I think come Oscar time, this may be something we see. I mean, it's got big stars. It's impeccably acted. It's the best Cronenberg movie in 20 years.
And like so many films about America, filmed in Millbrook, Ontario.
That's right, of course.
Millbrook, Ontario is the small American town where this film unfolds.
Looks just like Indiana. Now, one of the other movies we've seen a lot about, certainly the ads campaign has started rushing onto TV right now, is this new Jodie Foster film, Flight Plan. I can't really tell what it's about from the ads. What is it about? What about this movie?
Well, Foster plays a mother who, with her daughter, boards an airplane. And remember her last big film was Panic Room,
yes,
where she gets stuck in a little room and has to protect her daughter. Well, here she's stuck on a plane and has to protect her daughter.
She's really stretching.
It's sort of panic flight. A real big stretch for her thematically. Her daughter goes missing. No one believes her, especially after they find out her husband just fell off a roof in Germany. They claim her daughter was never there. She freaks out, runs around the plane. The world's worst sky marshal, played by Peter Skarsgård, tries to stop her. And really, Kevin, I mean, clearly the pilot on this film abandoned ship long ago, because I think we should all stow our baggage, make sure your table's upright, grab a barf bag, because this baby's going down.
It's really interesting. How does a quality actor and a quality person, one senses, like Jodie Foster, get wrapped up in a piece of what clearly sounds like garbage to Jesse Wente?
Well, you know, Andy, mortgages in Santa Monica are really high. And sometimes you just got to do what it takes.
But isn't this good for you, though, a little softball from Jodie Foster so you can make
right.
All those great lines?
Exactly. It wrote itself, the review, Andy.
I got to get another plug in, by the way. Jessica Lowe is our producer today, and her mom were watching. She told me over the weekend a very long engagement, the absolutely brilliant Pierre Jeunet film.
Which Jodie Foster is in?
And she's got a wonderful cameo in which she speaks fluent French on her own. I mean, brilliant, brilliant film out on DVD right now from the same director who gave us Amelie. Just wonderful.
Absolutely. Well worth the rental. Stick with that and stay away from the airport and the movie theater.
Oh, thank you, Jesse Wente.
Thanks, Andy.
Our Toronto Unlocked film critic. If you're just unlocking your car and heading downtown, here's Jim Curry to tell you how to get where you're going.
First, a reminder, Highway 427, watch for a delay both ways through the Finch area. We had a vehicle go into the median, into the ditch, so that being removed. Highway 9 at Airport Road, scene of a collision earlier as well. Looking at 404, the southbound lanes of 404 through 407, it is slow, building normally. The Gardner Expressway, southbound lanes, the Don Valley Parkway in the southbound lanes, normal build up. And so far, no problems to report on the Gardner or the Queen Elizabeth Way.
We are CIUT-FM in Toronto, 98.5. This is Toronto Unlocked. Oh, delicious. Ron Sexsmith and Don Kerr serenading us in our very last edition of Toronto Unlocked here on CIUT. We have taken the show out of doors today. We're broadcasting from the station's parking lot instead of the studio up there, third floor of that building just next to us. All morning we're saying thanks to CIUT for their tremendous hospitality, celebrating the birth of a special and hopefully very long-lived friendship between us and them. So we would like you, the public, to come down and celebrate public broadcasting with us. We're here till 9 this morning at 91 St. George, just north of Harbor.
It's worth pointing out that even though it's chilly, we are serving breakfast. So, you know, you want to get up and come down and take a break from serving the kids. We've got muffins. I was up late making banana bread with chocolate chips, Andy.
Ron Sexsmith and Don Kerr will be playing a couple more songs. Don Ferguson, member of the Royal Canadian Air Force, will be here with his take on the headlines. And for the last time here this morning, you'll hear from some of the locked out CBC employees who've been volunteering their time here on Toronto Unlocked. Matt Galloway, Sean Foley, and of course Jill Dempsey here with the news. Ron and Don.
Yeah.
Back to them in just a moment, but here's what's going on in our planet right now. Jill.
Thanks, Andy. Hurricane Rita could take a heavy toll on New Orleans. The storm has changed course slightly, and it may spare Houston a direct hit. But right now, it's aiming for the Texas-Louisiana border area. Just where it's going to come ashore is still a bit of a mystery. A Category 4 intensity, Rita is packing winds of over 220 kilometers an hour. The volume of rain falling could swamp New Orleans' shattered levee system. The city of Houston is emptying onto the interstate. As many as 2 million people are on the move there. U.S. President George W. Bush is going to be in Texas today just to check on the preparations for Rita. The cost of crude oil sits at $66 U.S. a barrel this morning. And here in Ontario, the price at the pumps is all over the map. Some stations were charging more than $2 a liter yesterday. Others were a dollar less. Premier Dalton McGuinty is calling on the Federal Competition Bureau to look into what's going on. A Toronto police officer should find out today whether he will go to jail for a beating that was caught on video. Constable Roy Preston was convicted in July of assaulting Saeed Jama Jama. The Crown is asking for jail time, saying Preston tried to cover up the incident by charging Jama Jama with assaulting a police officer. The OPP has reopened its investigation into the 1959 murder of 12-year-old Lynn Harper. Stephen Truscott was convicted of her killing, but last October, the federal justice minister found there had been a miscarriage of justice. The Ontario Court of Appeal is now considering what to do with the case. Truscott was originally sentenced to death, but was commuted to life in prison. Truscott was paroled in 1969. Ottawa is being urged to put a lot of new money into developing flu drugs. The urgent call from the International Consortium on Antivirals is over fears that a pandemic of drug-resistant influenza could sweep the planet, killing millions. Scientists fear that even Tamiflu, the main antiviral being stockpiled by governments, may become ineffective. That's a look at a few of the stories we have this morning.
It's 7:00. What does your watch say? Mine says 7:02.
I say 7:04.
Okay, so
split
I will
the
add
difference.
7:03.
It's 7:03.
Here on Toronto Unlocked, CIUT.
And we'll remind you, by the way, if you want to check up on news, the CBCUnlocked.ca website, which is being staffed by CBC journalists. Locked.cbc journalist is an absolutely brilliant site, not getting the millions of hits that cbc.ca gets, but tens of thousands of them, and an excellent way to check up on breaking news.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention as well, because I just got an email this morning from Leanne Stepnow. Leanne was one of the people who put together this marvelous evening the other night at Massey Hall. Just fabulous. And if you go to cbcunplugged.ca, you can see streaming video of the moment when all of us were invited onto the stage. Sort of an interesting historical document. Just everybody from the youngest to Lister Sinclair is there as well. Probably about 100 CBC TV and radio personalities at cbcunplugged.com. That'll be well worth seeing. And she tells me, by the way, Leanne, that the other night, thanks to your donations, those of you who joined us, listen to this, they raised $10,821.10, two subway tokens, and one peso, which will help alleviate some of the financial burdens locked-out CBC employees have been.
Who gets the token?
I don't know.
And who's going for the pesos?
Sean Foley, what's happening in sports news?
Well, the Blue Jays won. The Leafs won against the Montreal Canadiens last night. The Argos will play at Taylor Field in Regina tonight as well. And finally, in golf, Mike Weir with a fairly good day. He and his partner Trevor Immelman were the best pair on the links at the President's Cup. More sports coming up after the half-hour news.
I'm just going to give you a quick update on the weather. I'm just looking out to find out how cold it is. Tom Allen's wearing shorts and sandals. A breeze just came up, and I can see the goose pimples on his knees.
He's also wearing three shirts.
He's wearing it, but clearly from the top down or whatever, he's colder below. It is going to be only about 19 degrees. There is still a bit of a breeze, but if you want to come down, we've got hot coffee, muffins, stuff you can come and eat. So that's going to be excellent, excellent stuff to come down and see us. And then the only real worry on the weekend is Sunday. There are a few showers in the forecast, but a warmer day for Word on the Street. And again, I'll give you more details on Word on the Street coming up in a bit.
So, yeah, it's a little cool here today. We're outside. But when we sign off, Evan, this morning for the last time, a few things will stay with us. And one of them will be a reminder of just how warm it was up there on the third floor. No air conditioning. We did have one of those turning ceiling fans to sort of whip up the humid weather for us. Sometimes we had 15 and 20 people in the studio at once in a room roughly the size of probably your washroom at home. Anyway, we'd like to recall some of that to you right now. Getting a little warm in here, you just peel the layer off.
Dress in layers when you come to the studio. It gets warm as the morning goes on.
They
were right.
Oh, leave the door open for a second. We got to get some air in here.
Okay. Yeah.
Why do you get the fan?
Our biggest fan is in the studio. Unfortunately, when we turn it on, it blows all of our papers away.
It's very dark and very hot in here.
In here is high above St. George and Harvard. This is this attic room in this wonderful old Victorian building. And yes, it's a little warm in here. You might remember the movie Bridge on the River Kwai, that little tin hut where they put Alec Guinness until he straightened out his act. It's a little like that in here. That was put together, thank you very much, Sarah. Sarah Battis put it together, one of the many Locked Out CBC people who's worked behind the scenes to get this show to you. It's not too hot where we are this morning. Kind of cool in the parking lot at CIUT, but a lot of warm feelings here at 91 St. George.
In fact, why don't we warm things up with a little bit of music? We are incredibly honored to have Ron Sexsmith and Don Kerr join us this morning.
Thank you
guys very, very much for getting up this early and coming down.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
How does the weather affect your fingers this morning, guys?
I think we'll be fine.
Okay. They're here as part of Toronto Unlocked, our final edition. They're going to be playing songs off their new album, Destination Unknown, which is a very fitting name for us this morning, you guys. Because at 9 o'clock when we're off the air here at CIUT, our destination obviously unknown as well. What? Tell us a little bit about the album. This is a collaboration you two have done.
Well, Ron wrote all the songs, and I produced it, and we sing together.
That's basically it, yeah.
It's a simple album.
Yes. I mean, you know, Don's been singing with me for years, and I had these songs I didn't really know what to do with because they're a little more country, I guess, and And, you know, while we were on tour on the last record, we just started trying some of them out on the tour bus, and they sounded pretty good. So we just thought we were making the record for ourselves, you know. And actually, it's the way it turned out, you know. But, you know, so now we're doing shows and stuff, and it's sort of the Everly Brothers vibe, I guess you could say, you know.
Are the songs different? Do they mean different things to you? You said there's sort of other songs that were not, you know, not part of the Ron Sexsmith canon. But what's different about these?
They're kind of old-fashioned. They just didn't really fit in with the kind of records I was making, you know, before. And so now we have them all together in one place. You know, a lot of them were left off my last record, and some are even much older. So it was just once I got the idea that they would sound nice with Don's voice on them, it all sort of came together. And it's just very much, you know, like a side project, I guess you could say, you know.
So what are you going to play for us today?
We're going to play a song called One Less Shadow.
Great.
All right. So should we go ahead then?
Go for it, man.
Okay.
Underneath a perfect autumn-colored sky, they walk together side by side until another season caused this love to roam. One less shadow on the road back home. A heart must have a reason where eyes don't understand. There seems to be some unseen hand moving souls together, tearing lives apart. One less shadow by the old schoolyard. One shadow still leaning out across the summer lawn, trying to find out where all the other shadows have gone. Summer long, trying to find out where all the other shadows have gone. Words can ring so hollow when your eyes are full of love to comfort and console. This room without a window, this room without a floor. One less shadow darkening my door. One less shadow darkening my door.
You write such beautiful, melancholy songs, though, Ron. Are you a melancholy person?
Don is.
Don is. He's the inspiration, we always say, your muse.
I think we might have been a bit flat on the first verse. Hope it's okay. It's early. It's early
in
the morning.
We're going to bring you back in a little while for more music. Ron Sexsmith, Don Kerr, playing from their new album, Destination Unknown. Here's Jim Curran with your morning traffic destination.
We have another check with Provincial Police. Trouble at Markham Road, Highway 48 and Stouffville Road. Collision there being investigated. Coming down 404 through Highway 407, usual delay. And also in the East End, 401 westbound lanes, Morningside through McCown. You'll find it is slow. And a reminder of much earlier trouble, but still caution on Highway 427 at Finch. Vehicle in the ditch, that is between the north and the southbound lanes.
Ah, when the history of these last 3 weeks is written, this is the way it will go. A bunch of us came up with this idea for Toronto Unlocked on a Tuesday afternoon. This is a week after the CBC lockout began. At the time, we had no office, no telephones, no computers, no printers, and that most important thing at all, we had no transmitter to broadcast anything we wanted to do. By 9 o'clock the next day, 9 o'clock in the morning, CIUT station manager Brian Birchall had changed all that. He offered us phones, he offered us computers, he offered us an office, and he offered us 98.5 on your dial.
89.5.
What did I say? 89.5.
He offered us 98.5. This has been my constant job on this show.
He offered us 98.5. We said, no, thank you. We want 89.5. With their transmitter, by the way, right next to, interestingly enough, CBC's transmitter on First Canadian Place. We've been battling for your brain. For 2 hours every morning, we've been having the time of our lives here at CIUT, as I have, I think, all of my colleagues who've been part of this amazing experiment in public broadcasting. And now that it is coming to an end, or at least the on-air portion of it, we thought that we would introduce you to some of the people from CIUT who made it happen. So first of all, Brian Birchall, the man who made that offer we couldn't refuse. And he also brought us donuts every morning. What a guy. And next to Brian is Christine Atkinson, our University of Toronto volunteer. She's been here every morning. She's been helping prepare items, just keeping us company and being a terrific help. Christine, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I have to ask you, Brian, because I know and I can tell people now that you even had conversations with your lawyers about whether this would be completely kosher. Was there ever a moment in all of this when you thought, what have I done?
Well, I believe the what eclipsed all those doubts was the prospect of introducing CIUT and its rich program mix to Metro Morning's vast audience. And judging by the email traffic, judging by the people we see here today, we've achieved that goal. The University of Toronto recognized that CIUT occupies public airwaves, as does the CBC. We took the opportunity to satisfy the public good, now unmet by the corporation, and we've achieved our goals more than we could have ever imagined.
I just want to let you know that if your ratings outpoll ours a year from now, you're in deep trouble, Buster. So this was not completely altruistic. You were, I mean, this is, there's a little enlightened self-interest here.
Certainly.
Yeah.
We do hope to share the listeners with you in the future.
We have, by the way, just met so many incredibly interesting broadcasters and will be tuning in, as I suggested earlier, to shows even later on this afternoon that I want to hear. Christine, you volunteered to be our intern. What have you been doing these past few weeks for the show?
Well, it started off a little crazy in the office, and unlike CBC, I'm sure they where they have people standing there telling you what your role is, this was kind of, for me as an intern, it was beneficial because I could pretty much just inject myself wherever there was an opening, which was a lot of places.
There were a lot of openings.
Exactly. So I started, you know, making
coffee.
Some of them
could fall
and then,
through. Yeah.
Yeah. And then luckily some producers allowed me to, you know, chase interviews.
Were I a fly on the wall when you had conversations with some of your buds, what would you have told them? What were some of the stories you told them?
The story I keep coming back to is the story you talked about the other night at Massey Hall being a historic moment, but this show is truly a historic moment in public radio in this country, and I keep thinking about the just every day we show up and we have these same people showing up and then these rotating producers that sometimes they don't know each other. Everybody shakes hands, and then you go right into it. And there's one manager here overseeing this show, and it's the talent and combined effort of all these people putting together this product that's just so exciting. You learn so much from osmosis I've been learning so much just from osmosis with you people that it's, I'm so thankful for the experience.
And vice versa. It's had a looseness, this show, to it, and a spontaneity that we would like to take back with us when we finally get back into the building. It's been really a wonderful experience.
That was actually written down on your script.
There's been a looseness and spontaneity to this. That's not true, Kevin. But it's a good line. Any specially memorable moment for you, Brian?
I'm going to borrow from D.B. Hawks, who hosts Club Ned on Wednesdays from 6 to 9 a.m. This is the first crossover between his show and yours, and we weren't sure what CIUT volunteers, how they would take all this, and they took it very well with much grace and patience and consideration for the whole station's interest. But D.B. said, I listen to you guys, and when you're on the CBC, but I didn't know who you really were, and now I think you're the real thing. you're passionate about your craft, and you care deeply about your audience. And that realization, that radio moment for me was poignant. Hmm.
Brian Birchall, the station manager at CIUT, Christine Atkinson, studying international relations at the U of T, and our volunteer intern. Now, as you know, Toronto Unlocked on CIUT will sign off for the last time at 9 this morning. Grief counselors will be here to help us all. But the collaboration between us will, as they say, live on and on. The Canadian Media Guild represents locked-out CBC producers, technicians, administrative staff, and on-air folks, the 5,500 of us, who we're not doing for the folks we usually do it for, what we're doing here this morning. Arnold Amber is the president of the CBC branch of the CMG. He joins me now to talk about the legacy of Toronto Unlocked. Arnold, welcome to the microphones.
Thank you very much.
So this isn't the end, is it?
No, it isn't, because we're about to undertake a mentoring program between ourselves and CIUT. It's going to be called Broadcaster in Residence, and seeing as we're all unlocked now, and locked out, the word residence is rather important. It could be that somebody's going to be moving into the U of T to spend the next few months. What it really is, it's volunteers from the CBC, once we get back to work and even before we do, broadcasters, producers, writers, technicians, in fact, anybody who can help folks at CIUT learn a little bit more about the craft, about the trade, they'll be here to help out. And so it's called a broadcaster in residence. We're starting it right away. We have our first two volunteers. One, they're Joanne Melanson.
Joe Melanson.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't see it that well. Uh-huh. And Linda Shorten, both executive producers who will be the first two to come here. I think it's a pretty wonderful idea for the simple reason that, there's no journalism department at the downtown campus of U of T, although this particular university has given rise to some of the greatest journalists that have ever worked in this country. But they've done it all without the journalism department. Things like CIUT, the varsity newspapers, all the other newspapers on campus, is where people
Peter
learn
Zosky,
their craft.
The editor of the varsity at one time,
without
Adrian Clarkson worked here.
Yeah, a lot of them. And what we're trying to do is give something back. The Canadian Media Guild is sponsors in some respects of this entire three-week experiment in great broadcasting. Is very, very pleased to be part of this. I always feel personally that mentoring to university students, no matter which part of the world they want to make their mark in, is really important. And this is our way of giving back and keeping the association, a very nice association that was developed over this 3 weeks with CIUT. The CBC is Canada's largest cultural organization, and it should be doing, in fact, more of this. And maybe this example will lead to similar things in other cities. You know, we've been broadcasting on a number of university stations across the country, and maybe this will be an idea that catches hold. I should also like to take this opportunity to thank the people at CIUT for offering our folks such a pleasant place to ply their craft. I know it's meant a lot to all of them. And so we're very happy about this. And I just say one last thing. Although you're going off the air now, I suspect it won't be too long until you're coming back on the air at the CBC.
From your lips to God's ears.
Well, you know,
God's already on our side.
That's not the guy we need to listen, but...
Well, you know, everyone's saying, oh, what does he know that we don't know? No, it's an issue of the weather. We've had our folks out there for almost 6 weeks now, and it's getting cold. It's time to come in.
Yeah. Thank you for those warming words. Brian?
Arnold, thank you. I think a simple thank you would have sufficed, maybe a little plaque perhaps, but what you're offering us, and it's my privilege to accept on behalf of the station, is going to be a gift that keeps on giving. I think what we've all realized here is that broadcasting is not about the buildings or the corporation, it's about the people. And giving and continuing to give of yourselves is the greatest gift of all. I appreciate it.
Thank you, CIUT. Thank you, Arnold. Thank you, CMG. CIUT volunteers who would like to line up for banjo lessons from banjo mentor Sean Foley, you'll be able to just apply within. Brian Birchall is the station manager at CIUT, and I'd like to point out that CFRU Radio at the University of Guelph has been carrying Toronto Unlocked to its audience since all this began. Locked Out reporter Jeff Elwan has, on his own initiative, also started a mentoring program at the Journalism Collective at Guelph. Finally, this has been a two-way street. Whatever CIUT may have learned from us, believe me, we have also learned from them.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto Community Radio Station. Available across Canada on StarChoice National Satellite Service, Channel 826, and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
That sounded good to see.
It has been such a wonderful opportunity, Toronto Unlocked, to commune with, in some cases, colleagues that we rarely see. I mean, this is the way it works. Sheila Rogers, for instance, works in Vancouver. Tom Allen works on a completely different floor. I rarely see him. He's on the air at the same time on CBC Radio 2 that we're on in Metro Morning on Radio 1. And Dave Seglins is frequently on the road, of course, reporting for CBC News. So it's been so great seeing all these people together contributing some of their efforts to the same broadcast. So because she's come the farthest, welcome to, from the caravan so wonderfully named after her, Sheila Rogers.
Thank you again.
Who's been bunking down on the floors of Canadians from coast to coast to coast.
I'm calling this sleeping with Canadians.
Well, and how many have there been before me?
Oh, my. You've never offered me your floor.
Just tell people very quickly about the caravan.
Okay.
They may not know.
Well, we've been going across the country. We started in Victoria. There have been 16 locations, 17 with Toronto, in a Dodge Caravan, and we've been essentially asking listeners to put us up wherever they can and feed us too, if they will. And we've been visiting our colleagues on picket lines across the country as well. So a little bit of public outreach, a lot of strange kindness of strangers, and sometimes strange kindness too. But and it's really it's been very, very moving. Really,
and you're
has.
Heading to Ottawa today, right?
Heading to Ottawa today for there's a rally tonight at Glebe Collegiate Auditorium at 7:30, and. And, you know, we'll see. We were sort of hoping. Yeah. We were sort of stalling in Toronto, hoping we wouldn't have to move on. Yeah. You know?
And at 1 in the morning, early Monday morning, a whole busload of CBC people are going up to Parliament Hill.
Fantastic.
To present
yeah.
their case. Parliament, by the way, which is going to start sitting again on Monday,
yes.
has an interest in the CBC concluding its problems because their news isn't going to get reported in the depth and in the way that they are accustomed to. So who knows?
Yeah.
Arms might be twisted. We'll have to wait and see. Tom Allen is here as well from CBC Radio 2, co-hosting the other day. Welcome back, Tom.
Hello.
What's this been like for you?
The CIET experience from the couple of days that I co-hosted was just spectacular. I mean, for me, I know we've talked about being scripted and organized and everything most of the time, but for me, the greatest moments in radio are when things happen that weren't supposed to happen. That's when the most fun happens. And so on this program, that's the whole experience, basically. So I've been thrilled to be part of that. And I'm also thrilled that every morning when I do, when we're in the building, Michelle Parisi is my studio director, and she's about the greatest person to work with in the world, and now everybody else knows.
Hey, Michelle. She's the person who's been pointing at us, doing the little slicing motion underneath the chin when we've gone on for too long.
The little imaginary circle in the air.
A little wrap it up, will you? Come on, guys. We've got to get on with it. Dave Seglins is here as well, reporter for CBC News. Dave, good morning.
Hi, Andy.
Wait, did you actually swallow fire the other day?
I did, yes.
Remember we were talking on the air the other day about our mystery newscaster who's going to swallow fire at the circus? This is the man!
Well, this is sort of old tricks brought out in hard times. My brother and I circus performing for the troops down at Simcoe Square.
Wow. Obviously, it worked off you're here, or worked you're here.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
You want to tell us a little bit about CBCUnlock.ca?
Yeah, right at the beginning of this this entire lockout, there were 5,500 really creative people who suddenly had nothing to do with their creativity. And so we thought, hey, let's channel some of this. Let's get some podcasting going. Let's get a website up, CBCUnlocked.ca. All sorts of people came forward with great ideas, so there's alternate media lines happening. People organized bus trips. Last week, and we went to Kingston, for instance. We had groups from Ottawa and Toronto coming down to meet people, all the listeners and viewers in Kingston. And we also did a really special broadcast because a serious part of this lockout is the fact that the CBC is really kind of at the brink. A lot of our critics are coming out of the woodwork asking fundamental questions about public broadcasting, saying, do we even need a CBC? And so we decided to go. We were given by CFRC, the campus community station in Kingston, an hour of time. We had Mary Lou Finley, Keith Bogue, Bernie McNamee, among others, talking to a conservative senator, talking to the National Post. Sheila Rogers joined us from the road. She was in Winnipeg at that time.
Steinbeck.
We had a debate. We talked to listeners. We put the critics on the air, asked this question, do we need the CBC? Because it's time that people in the public join the debate and get active. So that's what I've been up to.
Dave, thank you very much. And you can go, by the way, to CBCUnlocked.ca as your news source on the Internet whenever you need it. You can also go over to the corner of the parking lot here at CIUT if you wish and purchase one of these extremely fetching T-shirts.
Which we're all wearing. We'll autograph them for you, too, if you buy them.
That'll cost you extra.
We're a little pinched for money. Yeah.
There are buttons for sale for a buck. We would love to see you wearing them as we conclude a little later on. We're here, by the way, until 9 this morning. Sheila, thank you for joining us.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Now hit the road, Jack.
It's sounding great.
She's back on the road. Tom Allen, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Sounds great, guys.
Dave Seglins, good
Thanks.
Seeing you.
Thanks a lot.
And to all of our brethren and sistren on picket lines across the country, keep on trucking. One of the things, I mean, I feel a little bit of almost survivor guilt because we have been allowed, those of us who've been part of this show, to go on basically doing every day what we do on CBC.
And actually so having many, more fun doing it.
And having fun. It's a struggle for a lot of people. We've heard from friends who have been told by their banks that they're in trouble because they can't meet mortgage payments. People like Kevin, and whose wife works at CBC, also who are losing two salaries. This hasn't been easy. Walking around a building, I think one of our people told us she put on a pedometer and clocked 28.6 kilometers the other day, is not the most soul-satisfying of activities. So it's been wonderful for us to be able to do this, but we understand that some of our colleagues have had a different row to hoe, and we appreciate their being where they are. Here's Jim to tell you where you're going, and Jill's got news coming up on CIUT 89.5, Toronto Unlocked.
First, we have an update from the TTC, and they tell us of one trouble spot, and that is on Steeles, westbound Steeles at Bayview, accident just a short time ago. Also, debris on the road on Guelph Line, right at the QEW, right by the ramp to eastbound Queen Elizabeth Way, and also a large piece of metal debris, 401 westbound express, just approaching Morningside. This is near the transfer lanes. Ministry of Transportation should be clearing that in the next few minutes.
Don Ferguson of the Royal Canadian Air Force will have, well, his version of the news coming up in just a moment. But here's the news, the real stuff, first from Jill Dempsey.
Good morning. Hurricane Rita is bearing down on the U.S. Gulf Coast and is expected to wash ashore tonight or tomorrow. Rita will cause major damage to wherever it lands, but just where that will be is still a mystery. The storm is now a Category 4 intensity. It has changed course slightly and may spare Houston a direct hit. But it's aiming right now for the Texas-Louisiana border area, which means New Orleans could be swamped again. Environmentalists fear that there could be an ecological disaster if Rita hits the heart of the Texas gas industry. In addition to the many oil rigs and drilling platforms in the Gulf, there are 87 chemical and petroleum installations along the coast. Rita hasn't even hit, and it's already getting the blame for a spike in gas prices. The cost of crude has topped $66 U.S. a barrel this morning, though that's lower than the $70 record set when Hurricane Katrina hit. One-fifth of U.S. refineries are in Rita's warning zone. Here in Ontario, the price at the pumps is fluctuating wildly. Some stations were charging more than $2 a liter yesterday. Others were a dollar less. Premier Dalton McGuinty is calling on the Federal Competition Bureau to conduct an investigation. The widow of one of the suspected London suicide bombers is talking about the state of her husband's mind at the time of the attacks. Samantha Luthwaite says her husband's point of view was influenced and poisoned by contacts with radical mosques. Jermaine Lindsay had been visiting mosques in London, Luton, and Northern England. Lindsay is suspected of detonating the bomb that killed 26 people on the Piccadilly Underground line on July 7th. In all, there were four attacks on the London transit system that day. 52 passengers and the four bombing suspects were killed. The political horse trading in Germany continues as both main parties refuse to concede defeat in Sunday's election. They are now looking for coalition partners. The center-right Christian Democrats courted the Green Party today, though policy differences mean that alliance is unlikely. Observers are anticipating an eventual agreement among the major parties to form a so-called grand coalition to run the country. A Toronto police officer should find out today whether he will go to jail for a beating that was caught on video. Constable Roy Pierce Preston was convicted in July of assaulting Saeed Jama Jama. The Crown is asking for jail time, saying Preston tried to cover up the incident by charging Jama Jama with assaulting a police officer. That charge was later dropped. The OPP has reopened its investigation into the 1959 murder of 12-year-old Lynn Harper. Stephen Truscott was convicted of her killing, but last October, the federal justice minister found there had been a miscarriage of justice. The Ontario Court of Appeal is now considering what to do with the case. Truscott was originally sentenced to death, but that was commuted to life in prison. Truscott was paroled in 1969. There are concerns the provincial government is not moving fast enough to ensure the safety of private wells. They say the Liberals are ignoring the advice of their own expert panel. It concluded the existing rules are flawed. The Canadian Environmental Law Association says the Liberals are ignoring the advice of their own expert panel. It says the risk is profound and preventable and says it's time for the government to act. At issue are sections of Regulation 903, which govern the disinfection of water after a well is constructed, repaired, or has new equipment added. Critics complain the old Conservative government drastically weakened existing standards when it implemented the regulation in August 2003. Ontario is backing away from so-called negative option organ donation. A proposed system would have put everyone on the organ donation list, and it would have been up to individuals to take themselves off. Officials in charge of organ donation in the province say that Ontarians are just not ready for such a system. And Ottawa is being urged to put a lot new money into developing flu drugs. The urgent call from the International Consortium on Antivirals is over fears that a pandemic of drug-resistant influenza could sweep the planet, killing millions. Scientists fear that even Tamiflu, the main antiviral being stockpiled by governments, may become ineffective. And that's just a look at some of the stories we have this morning.
Thank you, Jill. Are we?
Yeah.
There it is. The microphone is back on. Coming up in the next hour and a half of Toronto Unlocked on CIUT, we're going to be welcoming and, I guess, in turn, welcomed by David Naylor, the new president of the University of Toronto. Dr. Naylor will be joining us in a little while. Don Ferguson from the Royal Canadian Air Force is about to take his seat. He's got some news for you after Sean's sports. Sean's got his banjo, of course, at his side. Eliana Cuevas is going to be singing for us. Ron Sexsmith will be back. We've got still a great show cooking, and we'd love you to join us. The sun is rising and shining on Fort Book across the street from Robarts Library.
Oh, what a lovely shade of puce that is.
St. Mike's grad Kevin Sylvester is back on the campus of the University of Toronto.
I have nightmares of trying to find that one. Where the hell is that Latin textbook?
It's great to be here. It's great to have been here for the last 3 weeks. I just want to point out the terrific Toronto Unlocked sign on the side of CIUT's building, which was done by Priya Sankaran, mm-hmm. one of our journalists. I mean, this is just... People just have not been able to do enough. Like, she really needed to put together all of that construction paper and do this gorgeous sign to hang on the side of the building. So thank you, Priya, wherever you are. Jim Curran, where are we?
We are right here on St. George, by the way. For anyone heading down and we must remind people parking around here is a problem. But if you're riding your bike, we're on St. George, just north of Harvard. If you're taking TTC, St. George exit, and just walk straight down to St. George. And here we are, enjoying the warmth of this, the warmth of our company here.
Honk if you love public broadcasting.
There we go. There more honking. That's a
every
boy,
time.
I like that.
Fabulous.
We're going to look...
right on cue. Thanks, Mom.
Jill's mom's just been parked up front the whole time.
Waiting.
Waiting for her cue.
We're going to look again, through the eyes of the TTC. In trouble on Steeles, westbound Steeles at Bayview. The 401 coming from the west, Mississauga Road area through Highway 10. That's been filling in normally. From the east on the 401, westbound lanes and through Kennedy Road, normal buildup. Same on the parkway, going south from the top to Winford Drive. Trouble, though, on Highway 427. A little extra caution needed. Southbound 427 collectors approaching Dundas. A few moments ago, vehicles blocking one lane.
It's going to go up to a high of 20 today. We could use a little bit of that high right now. It's about 14, but it feels a little cooler here in the shade. Luckily, there's warm coffee and some muffins and things if you want to come down and join us. It's going to get pretty cool tonight, down to about 10 degrees with some cloud. Tomorrow, about 20 degrees, but sunny with some cloudy periods. Sunday, they are calling for a little bit of rain still, some showers. And that is a problem, of course, word on the street coming up on Sunday. We'll have a booth, the Toronto Unlocked booth, on the northeast corner. So we're hoping that rain stays away. Now, Sean Foley is back. He's got his banjo with him.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah.
you earned another trip back. With a great first one.
The stick appears to have worked last hour, so we're going to try it again.
The microphone in marche pas.
Yeah,
one of my microphones isn't.
Oh, there we go.
My fully.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Okay, I'll get right in close here. Hi, everybody. Can we hear everything?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Just don't bump it. It's got a bit of a loose connection.
Okay, I'll just be as gentle as I can. And, Jill, my initials are SF, which stands for safety first, and you're dangerously close to the head of my... I don't want to hurt you, okay? So let's just keep things...
Everybody back away from John.
Keep things straight,
he's got
okay?
a banjo,
banjo's
and he's
dangerous
not
enough.
To use it.
Banjo's dangerous enough. All right. Here we go. And since it's the NHL preseason, of course, we'll start with hockey. Last night, the Leafs hosted Montreal and beat the Habs 4-3. And Steve Stumpy Thomas had himself a goal. But, yay! Friend of the program, Steve Thomas. But young Kyle Wellwood potted two goals. Hard to know how Pat Quinn's going to go. With the old or with the new? And new sporting news. Well, I got that good old sporting news. Now we turn to baseball now. For those of you still keeping track, last night Seattle got to Jays pitcher Chacin. This half of the season's been pretty lean for Gustavo. No worries, though. Rios homered and the Jays beat the Mariners 7-5. Now they'll be visiting New York. Those dreaded Bronx Bombers. And they'll try to spoil the Yankees' lead atop the AL East. And have you ever had a nightmare and then realized it was real? Well, that's how the White Sox have to feel. They lost again last night to the Twins. And rival Cleveland got the win, so they're just a game and a half back of Chicago. News, that's sporting news. I got that good old sporting news. Well, we'll turn to the CFL. The well-rested Argos are on the lawn at Taylor Field in, Saskatchewan. And after this, they head back home as Ottawa comes to the Dome next Wednesday. Now, that's what you call a quick turnaround. News, that's sporting news. Don't be shy. I got that good old sporting news. All right. Now, Mike Weir, we'll talk about some golf. Yeah, his year hasn't been much to cheer, but he holds on hope and was one to be feared. Yesterday in Manassas, VA, he and Trevor Immelman paired up for 6 birdies, no bogeys, at the President's Cup. The American team trails their international foes who hope to add to the home team's woes. Oh, everybody, news, that's sporting news. We got that good old sporting news.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Freedom.
Freedom, baby.
Oh, brother, where art thou?
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you guys for letting me back in here.
He does
out
have
here.
He does have a soggy bottom.
Yep, it's pretty nerve-wracking.
That is a very hard act to follow on Toronto
oh,
Unlocked.
Oh, my goodness.
This is CIUT 89.5. A familiar face from all of you who are regular fans of the Royal Canadian Air Farce. One of the chief farciers, here's Donna Ferguson.
Hi there. Hi, good morning.
Woo. Now, not to cast aspersions on our competition, actually, across the dial, but a lot of people are less than thrilled with the news that's been available since the lockout began 6 weeks ago on CBC. Don, you are one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Don has come up with some headlines of his own, which you're all invited to attend to.
Yes, well, not just headlines, complete stories.
Oh.
All the news you're missing from CBC because of this suicidal labor disruption. Okay, here we go. In a speech at the United Nations, Prime Minister Paul Martin lashed out at the world body for its empty rhetoric about reforming wasteful spending, mismanagement, and corruption. He said there's so much talk and so little action that people are beginning to confuse the UN with the Liberal Party of Canada. To share the recent oil windfall, Premier Ralph Klein says that every man, woman, and child in Alberta will receive a check for $400. In a related story, 5,500 members of the Canadian Media Guild are moving to Calgary. Conrad Black's former right-hand man, disgraced Hollinger CFO David Radler, has pled guilty to mail fraud and will serve 29 months in prison. He says he's willing to stay behind bars longer, anywhere. Conrad Black can't get at him. U.S. President George Bush has responded to critics who say Iraq's draft constitution has flaws. According to Bush, no constitution is perfect. Look at America. We have one, and still, I got elected twice. Bush's approval ratings hit an all-time low since his government's slow, some would say inept, response to the destruction caused by Hurricane Katrina. But former President Bill Clinton says Mr. Bush shouldn't worry about hurricane fallout. Hell, after screwing around with Monica Lewinsky, it took 2 years, but I survived Hurricane Hillary. According to Foreign Affairs Minister Pierre Pettigrew, it was perfectly appropriate, that's a quote, perfectly appropriate that his chauffeur accompanied him on two overseas trips at a cost to taxpayers of $10,000, even though there was no driving involved. When asked if, as a result of the Gomery inquiry, Paul Martin hadn't insisted cabinet ministers clean up their act, Mr. Pettigrew said he didn't know. His head was stuck so far up his ass, he hadn't heard a word the prime minister said. Michael Jean will be sworn in as governor general next Tuesday without news coverage by CBC. Instead, CBC News World will air BBC coverage of Adrian Clarkson swearing in 5.5 years ago. Peter C. Newman's new book, The Secret Mulroney Tapes, Unguarded Confessions of a Prime Minister, reveals former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney as a charming, vindictive, sweet-talking, foul-mouthed, boastful, crony-loving blowhard. Oh, I'm sorry, this is not news. However, we do have Mr. Mulroney here to contact, and I've asked him to comment on the CBC lockout. Mr. Mulroney.
Hi, how you doing? CBC has been a national institution for 70 years, and I'd like to remind Stephen Harper that it was created by the Conservative Party of Canada, one of the few good things done before I became Prime Minister. As you know, I worked for many years in Quebec as a labor lawyer, and I have the following advice for negotiators of the Canadian Media Guild. You've got to be focused, calm, reasonable, persuasive, patient, and relentless. And if that doesn't get you what you want from CBC management, as I say many, many times in Peter Newman's book, fuck 'em.
That is a direct quotation. We are not responsible for that. It comes right out of the book.
Right out of the book and right out of the Globe and Mail.
Do we have time for any more?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have time for more? Yes.
Just a couple more. North America-wide shortage of liquid barium means that patients referred for barium enemas could face lengthy delays, and there isn't enough capacity in the system to perform alternative diagnostic procedures. If we run completely out of barium, said one proctologist, we don't know what we'll do in the end. National elections in Germany have left Angela Merkel and Gerhard Schroeder in a virtual tie for leadership, with both candidates claiming the right to be chancellor. Now a unique formula for sharing power may provide a solution. Each will govern half the country, which is to be divided into east and west, and a wall will be built across the middle of Berlin. What the hell, it's progress. Sex toys are going mainstream. Loblaws, Walmart, and drugstores like Shoppers Drug and Pharma Plus are targeting women and have begun selling refreshing cloths, intimacy gel, and a vibrating ring in the store's feminine care aisles. Sex toys aimed at men will be sold at Canadian Tire. In the tire, beach ball, and other inflatable products aisle. And finally, narrowly avoiding an international incident, Canada and Denmark have resolved their dispute regarding both countries' claim to Hans Island, an uninhabited rock the size of a few city blocks that lies off the coast of Greenland. Diplomats from both countries met on the island and agreed neither of them wanted it. And that's the news.
Don.
I'd like to hear Peter Mansbridge read some of those.
And if he won't, as Brian Mulroney said.
Careful.
Sorry.
This was to have been the week you were going to, I guess, produce your first season.
We would have had a show on the air not tomorrow night, but the following Friday. We would have been in production by now.
And you're not, of
course.
Not,
no. And we have no idea. does anybody here know when that'll be? Robert Rabinovich is not standing out there in disguise, is he?
No. Well, Parliament, which we're going to petition, I guess, on Monday to help us end all of this, might actually regard the absence of the air farce as a good thing. I mean, who are your targets expected to be this season? Present company accepted, of course.
No, the usual suspects. We're all waiting to get back. I think it's going to be interesting. I actually love minority governments. And I love, that's why actually I support Fair Vote Canada too, you know, to get better proportional representation.
Right, yeah.
Stephen Harper is going to be fun to go after. Who knows how long he'll be around. Prime Minister Martin is, I think a lot of these guys are like, remember the old midways, they'd have shooting galleries?
Yes.
Where you could shoot a gun at these wooden ducks that would go by. I think everybody in politics is like a wooden duck. They volunteer for the position, and then they complain when they get shot at. But, like every other Canadian, I paid my my tax money. I'm going to pick up my little pop gun and have a shot. So.
Or your chicken cannon.
Or the chicken cannon, even better, yes.
Thank you for taking aim this morning, Roger.
Thank you, Andy.
Roger Abbott is sick. Roger, if you're listening at home, we hope you get better real soon. Don Ferguson, thanks so much.
Thanks, Andy. Keep up the fight, guys.
Those of you who would like to challenge CIUT's renewed license can write to the CRTC complaining about unacceptable language, but write to Mr. Newman and Mr. Mulroney first. This is CIUT, where the time is about 8 minutes before 8 o'clock in the morning. We're here for another hour and 10 minutes. We would love you to join us, corner of St. George and Harvard, having a great time where you will not only be able to see and hear, as we will now, the music of Ron Sexsmith and Don Kerr, our musical guests. For this hour at CIUT, we've got quite a gathering. Ron and Don playing off their album Destination Unknown. They have another song for us now.
All right. Can we just go with it then?
Sure. Take it away.
Listen and I'll tell you how much I'd love to hold you now. You listen, you'll hear my heart pound whenever you're around me. Listen to that robin sing at our window welcoming the promise of an early spring and a season made for loving. Miracles all around. You've only to follow the sound, vibrating all around. Oh, can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? When I listen to that inner voice, it's telling me I have a choice to condemn life or rejoice. I think I'll choose rejoicing. To condemn life or rejoice, I think I'll choose rejoicing.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much. Tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, that's the first song on our record, and it's just I don't really know. We just shot a video for it where we're frolicking around Toronto Island and looking very uncomfortable. And yeah, it's just a very kind of it's a very square song. I think Perry Como could have sang that.
He wouldn't have done it justice.
Thanks.
But now you two had said that you were, this was sort of an Everly Brothers feel. What is the relationship between you guys?
Oh, we're lovers.
Are you?
Yeah.
See, look at all the news you're getting here on the show.
No, Don's been my right-hand man for, I mean, he's played drums with me since 87, and do you want to say something? Or?
Whatever he says is fine with me. Yeah.
For what it's worth, the Everly Brothers vibe went terribly bad. Ron and Don had a...
But they were actual real brothers, though. And
Don
that's
and Phil,
where,
I mean.
Where they went wrong.
No,
they should have known that.
Yeah. No, is it hard, you know, keeping a collaboration like this going? I mean, you guys spend a lot of time together.
This was just an unexpected thing, because, like, normally I do my little albums, my Ron Sexsmith albums, and this was just something that happened naturally, so they're... you know, we'll always probably play music. I don't know whether or not there'll be another one of these records, but it's just, you know, we get along, you know.
And apart from, thank you very much for coming in this morning, what other gigs are you guys doing to, you said you would shot a video. What else is coming up where people can come see you?
The St. Catherine's Grape and Wine Festival on Sunday.
Sounds good.
That is a fantastic event.
That's my hometown, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And apparently, I was talking to a wine expert last night who said this year is going to be the best year ever. He was explaining why the grapes did this and the weather did that and everything. So I think, anyway, we're going down to play that, and that's about it, really. So.
Okay, well, cool. And the album, Destination Unknown, available already?
It is. It's out. Yeah.
Cool. I want to thank you guys very much for coming out on this windy, blustery morning.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Ron Sexsmith and Don Kerr. That was fantastic.
And in addition to the St. Catherine's Grape and Wine Festival, many other things are going on around the city this weekend. To alert us to them, Matt Galloway, the locked out host of Here and Now, is here this morning. Now, good morning, Matt.
Good morning to you. I can't believe that Ron Sexsmith is actually up at 10 minutes to 8 and singing. That's astonishing. I've seen Ron late at night, but never early in the morning. So that's good news.
Can we invite you, by the way? I'm told that there is parking. One of our visitors this morning came all the way down on her bike only to discover, she said, lots of parking spaces in St. George. So that's up to you. Take your chances. Or you can go to the St. George subway station. You still have an hour and more to talk to us, say hello, shake our hands. We'd love to meet you when this is all over at 9 o'clock. We are at CIUT 89.5. This is Toronto Unlocked. That's Kevin Sylvester. I'm Andy Berry. And Matt, what's cooking this weekend?
Well, somebody was talking, Arnold Ambert mentioned it before, and you've mentioned it a couple of times, that the CBC really is a cultural institution. And one of the things that we've noticed in the cultural community over the last six weeks or so is that there's been some small events that have gone unnoticed. Events that normally would get a lot of attention haven't been because of the lockout. And so it's great that places like CAUT have stepped into the breach to allow us to do what we do, but also to help promote events. One of the big things that's happening this weekend is something called the Small World Music Festival. This is a festival that's in its fourth year. It's music from all over the world, and it's the kind of music that you'll hear on CIUT day and night, music from every possible corner of the planet. It's happening this weekend in Toronto. It kicked off last night. Maybe you saw the film City of God, fantastic film. The man who played Knockout Ned, Seu Jorge, was playing last night, kicked off this festival, and the event will continue through the beginning of October. There's all sorts of great music that's happening, mostly at Lula Lounge, but all around the city, focusing this year on Portuguese music, which is good for people in the city of Toronto. We have a huge Portuguese community here, a lot of Brazilian communities here, and Portuguese folks of Portuguese music, not just from Portugal, but from, I suppose it would be the diaspora, all around the Portuguese-speaking world. They're focusing this year on that. So you're getting music from Cape Verde. People might know the great singer Cesária Évora, the Barefoot Diva. She is the most popular exponent of Portuguese music from Cape Verde. But a woman named Lura is sort of the new star of this island. She's going to be performing this weekend as part of the Small World Festival. That's at Lula Lounge on Saturday. Something completely different, music from three Palestinian brothers. They're called Trio Jurban. They're playing on Sunday. And the whole festival ends, if you have to see one thing, absolutely one thing to see, this group called Sidi Goma, who are from, this is an amazing story, an East African community that is in India. They play, it's really the whole world kind of crammed into this one little sound, mixing up a lot of different things. They're playing just up the street, actually, at the Al Green Theater, which is on Bloor Street at Spadina. That ends the Small World Festival on the 4th of October. Go to their website, smallworldmusic.com. And again, CIUT is a proud sponsor of the Small World Festival. So get out and support the festival and support your local campus community radio station
now,
as well.
Now for you, Matt, is this, I know the lockout sucks, but is this great for you to get an opportunity to immerse yourself in this?
It's just important to be able to try and find distractions, other things to do. Ron and Don mentioned frolicking around the island. We've done a lot of that. But you should be, you know, this is a great chance to go out and see some music as well. Most of it is not very expensive. And it's just it's you know, explore your city and explore some sounds that you may not be familiar with.
Cool. Matt, what are you going to be going to see yourself? What's the one? You said there was
The one thing is this group called Sidi Goma, who are playing on the 4th of October up at the Al Green Theater. Yeah. Will really be spectacular. There's lots of dancing and performing. It will blow your mind.
Matt Galloway, everybody.
And this is fantastic. This is, I mean, coming down here at 6:30 this morning and seeing tents and people and food and everybody wearing CIUT Toronto Unlocked T-shirts, it really is a spectacular event. So thanks to everybody for coming down.
Let's just listen to the chimes at Fort Book across the street announcing that it's almost 8 o'clock. This is our equivalent of the beginning of the long dash. You know, the long dash, unfortunately, is locked out, so we can't use the long dash. So that's why we came down here to be told what time it was by the bells at the University of Toronto. What's happening on the roads, Jim Curran?
We have, once again, a reminder from TTC. Trouble earlier on Steeles at Bayview. The good news, all lanes open again, but westbound still delayed. And 427 southbound, collector lanes by Dundas. Accident there a short time ago. We've had two lanes blocked on the right side, and Highway 400 northbound at Highway 7. There is a large box in the left lane. Extra caution there. It says Pandora on it, so steer clear.
A word to the wise. We hope that's sufficient. We are on 93.3 CFRU Guelph Radio, as well as 89.5 here at CIUT. This is Toronto Unlocked.
It's Friday, September 23rd. Canada and Denmark have agreed to settle the dispute over a tiny outcropping of Arctic rock known as Hans Island. Foreign Affairs Minister Pierre Pettigrew says a process is now in place to resolve the issue of who can lay claim to the island. Currently, Denmark is taking its lead in the negotiation process from Canada's own public broadcaster. Its strategy? Lock Canada out of the island, then bombard it with hours of painful morning blather. And if that doesn't work, they'll bulldoze the whole thing into the sea. For its part, Canada is sending Sheila Rogers. This is Toronto Unlocked.
Oh, man.
And that is The Voice. I'm Andy Berry.
I'm Kevin Sylvester.
And at 89.5 on CIUT, we are Toronto Unlocked. This is the last hour, yep, for real, the last lap. We've got a big crowd gathered here in the parking lot of CIUT, and we still want you to drop by and join us. We're at 91 St. George Street, just north of Harvard, celebrating the beginning of a beautiful relationship with CIUT and celebrating the remarkable run we've had here in the past 3 weeks.
And this hour, we will be meeting, welcoming here, a man who welcomed us, the University of Toronto's new president, Dave Naylor is going to be dropping by. U of T grad Eliana Cuevas is going to be on stage. In fact, I think they're just setting up right now. She's going to be playing us for here as well. And for the last time this morning, a chance to hear all of the locked out CBC workers who have volunteered their time here on Toronto Unlocked. In fact, let's go straight to one of them here, Jill Dempsey, with the news.
Well, I'm just going to talk about our top news story this morning, which has to do with Hurricane Rita as it continues to move through the Gulf of Mexico. Right now, it is a Category 4 hurricane.
There's
extremely
dangerous.
It's coming through right now, right on cue. The U.S. National Hurricane Center has also put New Orleans under a tropical storm warning. We may not be far behind if the winds keep up. The forecast is calling for rain near the threshold, and that could overwhelm levees damaged by Hurricane Katrina. Now, exactly where Hurricane Rita is going to come ashore could have a big impact on gasoline supplies and prices. Industry experts are having trouble predicting the damage to oil sites because Rita keeps changing course. The Houston area alone is home to 13% of the U.S. oil refining capacity, and we're seeing some of those ripple effects happening here at home. I'll have more details coming up at 7:30. Or 8:30.
Last night there was a...
That's what time it is.
Hours right on this one?
Last night there was a 100-mile backup getting out of Houston. 100 miles. People were running out of gas. Tanker trucks had to go along the side of the road just to gas people up to get them out of the way.
A good friend of mine lives in Houston. She sent me an email yesterday saying that she was moving all of the furniture to the upper floor, and they weren't quite sure whether they were going to leave or not because the traffic was just horrendous.
Yeah, a mile an hour for 100
miles. And then to
get
miles. Gas. Yeah. That's the other thing.
I think traffic's a little better in Toronto. Here's Jim.
It is indeed. A couple of areas of concern right now. Reminder, Highway 400 northbound in the express at Highway 7. A box in the left lane should be out of the way in the next few minutes. Highway 427 southbound, collectors approaching Dundas. A couple of vehicles being, an accident being investigated. Those vehicles have been blocking the two lanes on the right.
Now magazine has called this woman the next Nora Jones. Eliana Cuevas grew up in Venezuela. Sean.
Just because he doesn't
really
have his banjo.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the old...
before we go on, I just want to introduce you to the woman whose face was crossed with horror just a moment ago.
she was not
and
ready.
Thank goodness. This is Michelle Parisi, who's going, what? Going through her papers, Michelle Parisi, our studio director for the last 3 weeks,
yay!
Who is at least 3 years older than she was 3 weeks ago.
And she can time that exactly.
Actually, I think Michelle wants to know if there's any breaking news about Steve Thomas yet.
Eliana, I'm sorry. We'll get to you in just a moment, but your partner in musical crime here, Sean Foley, without his banjo, thank God, because that would be such a hard act to follow with sports headlines.
So the Leafs and Habs did play last night. 4-3 was the final score for the Leafs. Steve Thomas with a goal, but no news about whether he's on the team, off the team. He's competing with a bunch of other young folks, as well as Brian Marchment, who's a veteran as well. The Blue Jays won. The White Sox are just sliding. It's a crazy story. The Argos play tonight, and Mike Weir had a good day on the golf course yesterday. See how he does today down there in Virginia at the President's Cup. And we'll have more of that after the half-hour news.
Now, Michelle.
Yes.
Thank you. Now Magazine.
Now Magazine has called her.
The next, Nora Jones. Eliana Cuevas, as I started to say before I was so rudely interrupted, grew up in Venezuela, came to Toronto to study right here at the University of Toronto, fell in love with the city during her time here, and Toronto's vibrant music scene was one of the main reasons she decided decided that she wanted to be here for good to launch her musical career. She's made quite a name for herself. She's been on CBC Radio with us several times. She's a regular here on CIUT. She is on stage for our last hour of Toronto Unlocked. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Welcome back to the U of T. What was it about this campus that made you want to be here?
Oh, my God. When I was first here, I was actually studying English, and I honestly can't explain what it was, but I just found it very magical, this place, you know. And when I went back to Venezuela, I had it in my head that I wanted to come back and study here, and I also wanted to come back to make music in this country. So I did.
And how is this country? I mean, I imagine your musical influences, of course, would have been Venezuelan in the beginning. Do you sense that they've been reshaped in any special, unusual way as a result of living since in Toronto?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Okay. Now, how has your music changed, I think, since you've been to Toronto? Has it been shaped any differently?
Definitely. In this city, I've been able to learn about a lot of different cultures, and that has definitely had an influence in my music.
Mm. Would you tell us about the tune you're about to sing?
Sure. This song is called En Mis Sueños, which means In My Dreams, and I thought it would be very appropriate because this is a time for collaboration and support, and this is a song that I wrote with an incredible piano player called Gordon Shear, my producer, and I believe that collaboration is very important at this moment, and that's this song is based on that.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Eliana Cuevas.
Sin temor tener.
Eliana Cuevas, thank you very much. Muchas gracias. Thank you so much. We'll see you and hear you again, Eliana.
Can I give you, because I'm sort of doing color commentary to your play a little bit?
Certainly.
Eliana's singing drew about 30 extra people to our crowd here, which is already substantial, but just it was neat watching people come over on their bikes and go,
what's
wow,
that?
What is that beautiful music? So that was great.
It is so wonderful, by the way. We've been, for most mornings, finishing at 8 o'clock. We have our story meetings when that concludes. Then we go our separate ways, and I've been usually walking up St. George Street to Bloor and sitting down in El Mercurio and having myself an omelet in the morning, and it's just been so wonderful to see the streets flood with the students on the way to class. It's what we call a wonderful vibe, and we've been part of it for the last 3 weeks here on the campus of the University of Toronto. On the first couple days we were here, we were welcomed by the then acting president of the University of Toronto, the Provost Vivek Goel. Dr. Goel was so gracious in welcoming us to the campus. As we conclude, we would like to introduce you to the man who has just been introduced formally to his job. Dr. Naylor is the new president of the University of Toronto. On October 1st, David Naylor will become president of the largest university in Canada. 67,000 students in attendance here, 28 academic divisions, colleges and faculties, and of course, one very special radio station. Dr. Naylor, thank you so much for letting us be guests on your campus for the last 3 weeks.
It's been a huge pleasure, Andy, and I think we've all been energized by having the CBC workers here, and this program I know has brought tremendous energy to the campus. Thank you for being here.
I was interviewing you back when you were at ISIS and the Sunnybrook campus. You spent 6 years, of course, as the Dean of Medicine here at the University of Toronto. You've had quite an incredible career arc. Tell me about arriving at this particular point in it.
It's an incredibly exciting time, I think, at the university because we've got tremendous renewal of the campuses, all three of them. The last budget finally brought some serious support to post-secondary education. I think it's a chance to really provide a student experience that the students here deserve. So we got work to do, but it's a very exciting juncture.
How do you keep an institution that's so large? And I'm a U of T student. I always remember that you'd sort of, in many ways, grab onto a little enclave like St. Mike's where I went and try and ignore the rest of it. How do you make a U of T feel around such a gigantic place?
U of T is like Toronto. It's a set of neighborhoods. The colleges help create neighborhoods, the departments, the programs, the residences, the clubs and activities, CIUT. Mm-hmm. They're all part of creating a sense of neighborhood here at U of T.
One of the ways in which the U of T is very much like Toronto, and we're certainly very aware of this at CBC and at CIUT, is the composition of the student body, which from the days when you were an undergraduate would have changed enormously in terms of the number of people, for instance, whose mother tongue is not English, who were not born in this country. How has the university changed in that way?
The university is a fabulously diverse place that really reflects the whole of the GTA now in terms of its composition. It's an incredible, I think, model for the world in terms of tolerance, civility, rational discourse, cross-cultural learning, and we're very proud of that.
Tell us about your family, would you?
I have four children who are more or less teenagers, 12, 14, 16, and 18. This is a bit of a sea of raging hormones, Andy.
Oh, thank you so much, and your children will so appreciate that when you go home later on today. And the 18-year-old who is about to enter university is not entering this university?
The 18-year-old has committed high treason and has already been at Waterloo for 1 year, and she's back there now. We will repatriate her at some point.
There's always grad school.
Now, we would not have minded, we were unable to do so, interviewing your wife as well this morning, who has a very distinguished career only blocks away from where we're sitting.
She is already hard at work, and she's had a lot of fun with Mars, the new complex over at University and College.
Would you help me, Dr. Ilse, help me pronounce her last name?
Triernecht.
They used to call her Ilse Trenchcoat, I understand. When she was
I'm afraid so.
Because a lot of people were not able to pronounce her name, which is Afrikaans.
That's
and that
right.
leads me to what I'm told was an interesting enterprise on your part. In order to be able to communicate not only better with your wife but her family, you learned Afrikaans?
I was highly motivated at the time.
Back to those raging hormones again.
No comment.
There are some 50,000 former South Africans living in Toronto. I don't suppose you could tell us what the words for raging hormones are in Afrikaans. You are a physician, after all. You ought to be able to handle that.
Ek is nie seker ek ken dit doen nie.
Very good.
That was worse than what Don Ferguson said, wasn't it? We're breaking all the rules today.
It's so interesting. We talked to Vivek Goel, the provost, who is an epidemiologist. You were appointed by the federal government to do an investigation of the SARS crisis. And you bring a remarkably diverse career to this school. You studied a PhD in sociology, social history as a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford. But let's return to the SARS crisis, which we're being warned could happen again. And your sense coming out of that study, you directed at where we are right now.
This is a much more serious business, Andy. I think we're a lot better prepared, but if you look at what SARS did to Toronto, to the Toronto healthcare community, to many here at U of T, it had a devastating impact. We have a public health agency. We got a chief public health officer, major investments in vaccines, and a better infrastructure and communication system. I think we're a lot further ahead. Are we 100% prepared? No. But we're a lot better than we were.
As you've been watching the news of Katrina and all the criticisms in the states about lack of preparedness for major emergencies, and as you open your papers every day to see warnings of a pandemic, what do you think we should do so that no one like you will have to tell us we told you so if we're unprepared for an emergency? What's still left to be done?
I think the critical thing is to have much more in the way of collaboration across the different levels of government, and to have clarity about who's in charge. We always talk about the four C's in crisis management: clarity, collaboration, communication, cooperation. These are part of making sure that people actually know what they're supposed to do when the proverbial excrement hits the fan. And when I look at Katrina, I look at all the other crises that have happened. The problem is the next SARS won't be SARS. The next Katrina won't be Katrina. Right. You never know what's going to come around the corner. Right. And it means you have to have a flexible response capacity. That's the critical part, Andy.
Dr. David Naylor, on the 1st of October, will become the 15th president of the University of Toronto. What a wonderful honor. What a wonderful next step in a continually fascinating career. Congratulations. Thank you so much for letting us be guests on your campus these last 3 weeks.
Congratulations to all of you.
This is CIUT 89.5, just across from Robarts Library at the corner of St. George and Harvard on the University of Toronto campus, and we are Toronto Unlocked.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto community radio station. Available across Canada on Star Choice National Satellite Service, Channel 826, and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm. Each and every Friday, Island Breeze. Explore your possibilities. Island Breeze. And let Island Breeze lead you into your weekend.
Greetings! This is your invitation to join us, Jaro and DJ Bass, up in the attic on a Friday evening, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
for the best, and so can Calypso. Let Island Breeze lead you up into your weekend, lifting up any and everything in our path.
Yes, this is Toronto Unlocked on CIUT-FM.
I think autumn happened about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, it's blowing all my scripts around.
It was summer yesterday, and it was autumn today. Or maybe winter was right around.
Jill's coffee just took a dive down the... Oh, my God.
I spilled my tea. I'm sorry.
Of course, Dr. Naylor's over there going, we warned you about the wind and the coffee, and you did not listen. The reason Dr. David Naylor is still sitting here is I actually read an interview. You are a huge music fan, right? You play a grand piano. That's one of the things you said you were excited about.
I am.
Yes. Your musical skills are about to be put to the test. We are inviting you to stay for the grand return of
Jim's
Quiz!
I have to warn you, there's very little Rachmaninoff in Jim's Quiz, but...
That's right. Well, when we do the quiz, as you know, we always have a topic, and our topic for today, you know, I guess one of the best aspects of volunteering here at CIUT, it's been an opportunity for CBC people to work with local and national radio people, people from News World and television and CBC Online. It's given us a chance to all work side by side many times for the first time and to be welcomed by the university and CIUT working with the people here. So it has brought all of us together. And that is the theme of the quiz for this morning. It's all about being together.
Cool.
There are two parts to the quiz. We have some snippets of music for you to identify. That may be the easy part. We want you to identify the performers as well.
Now, can we test our sound effects here?
Yes, we all right. Dr.
Naylor, you have the... Would you please give that a... Oh, you can do better than that. Come on.
Very good. All right.
I've got a little grogger here.
Okay.
My sound.
I'll use the stapler.
Okay. Nothing but the best equipment.
I have a whistle.
Okay. All right. All right. We're ready to go.
So here again is your challenge. Now, in the unlikely event no one knows the name of the performer, we'll go to our audience and you can win a T-shirt.
We have a Rhodes Scholar sitting here right now. This would be terribly humiliating if this man came.
But there's no pressure. Absolutely.
No. So here's our first bit of music. See if you can identify the song and the name of the performers.
No matter how they toss the dice, it had to be the only one for me is you.
We're happy together.
There's a bell being rung here at the end of the table.
Dr. Naylor?
This is about 1967. It's the Turtles, and it's So Happy Together.
Yeah!
The Board of Governors at the University of Toronto is relieved they selected the right man. Congratulations. There's
I was
a pair
about
of bell
as
bottoms.
Slow as a turtle on that one.
So the first clue is turtles. Galapagos Islands.
No, All right, we have another song, Rhythm and Blues this time. We're looking for the name of the song and the name of the performer. Here we go.
Ooh, baby. Let's stay together, loving you weather. Times of good but happy and sad.
Michelle Parisi, our studio director.
She knows it.
Jill knows.
She and Jill were singing along there.
Yes.
That's right. But let's stay together.
Yes.
Is it Al Green?
It is Al Green.
The Reverend Al Green.
Yes,
my
all
God.
Right. Now, our next song, we're going to perhaps switch generations. I don't think anyone should have any trouble with identifying this performer, so it's a matter of how quickly you can get off the mark.
Oh,
ready?
Ooh.
Ready? Here we go.
Where did this... the sound not of the turtle, the sound of the stapler is heard in the land.
Yes, indeed.
Is that Avril?
That's Avril, yes, indeed.
Yeah,
Avril
Lavigne. Not Benoit.
To my 12-year-old daughter.
See, it was worth it.
That's why we have children,
that's
so
right.
We won't be embarrassed in quizzes. And CBS.
And the song was Together. No doubt about that. Right. Okay, we have one more.
One more.
And again, we're looking for the name of the song and the name of the performers. Here we go.
United we stand, divided we fall. And if we're meant to ever be against the wall,
we'll be
together, you and I.
Who the heck is it?
Is that Shania?
No. It's something conspiracy.
No.
Dr. Naylor? Wait a second.
Okay.
Skill testing question for your appointment as the president of the university. They didn't tell you there was a skill testing question, did they?
So it's all on the line now.
I peaked with the turtles.
Well, we have the same vintage.
Does anybody in the audience know?
Sonny and Cher, indeed.
Oh, wow.
I should have known that one.
Shame on us.
Congratulations. Get that person a T-shirt.
Wow, very much. There's a certain thread working through that. I was expecting Solidarity Forever to be the next tune we were going to have to name.
Due to time constraints, it was crossed off the list.
Yeah. The beat goes on Toronto Unlocked. Dr. Naylor, again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being with us on campus, thank folks. You. Thank you very much.
It ain't over yet. Sean Foley will have yet another banjo-accompanied sportscast coming up. We have more to do. We're going to be talking to Jennifer Leonard, who is another one of the CIUT volunteers, which we are, by the way. We have each paid down our $5. The real reason that CIUT welcomed us is this is a major profit center for this university radio station. Every one of us paid our $5 down to become volunteers at this, which we will renew regularly, by the way. This is a wonderful opportunity for what we hope will be a continuing friendship. We announced earlier this morning, thanks to Arnold Amber of the Canadian Media Guild, that there will be an official mentorship program between the CBC and CIUT, wherein we will regularly be shipping CBC people down here to mentor volunteers at CIUT. And they will tell us, they will regularly send mentors up to the CBC to teach us how to take ourselves less seriously.
I have just been handed by Michelle. This is a great note. First of all, you know you've heard people honking their horns in solidarity or just because they're having fun when they're driving down. I want to thank, or we should all thank, Pro Cut Concrete Cutting, because they've agreed to not start sawing on St. George Street until we've finished our broadcast.
Let's hear it for ProCut.
Thank you guys very, very much. That's excellent. Maybe I'll do a doodle on this one and then we can auction it off later. Well, I should also thank the Arbor Room at Hart House. That's a great restaurant if you've ever had a chance to go there. But they also provided the food today.
Oh.
If you are still able to make it down.
And Sudeco, who provided the coffee, thank you so much. They do so for the campus of the University of Toronto.
And we should also, again, just thank Christine Atkinson. Got Ron Sexsmith first today. We had her on earlier today, our volunteer,
Christine.
Our intern here. And she and Lars Bronin also doing the T-shirts, which you can buy here, the Toronto Unlocked T-shirts, to sort of celebrate this once-in-a-lifetime, we hope, event.
Yes, we hope it's not twice or thrice in a lifetime, as we've had a wonderful time.
We've had a great time.
This is CIUT 89.5. We're Toronto Unlocked. Jill Dempsey to our right is here with the news.
Good morning. We begin with Hurricane Rita and breaking news from Houston. A bus filled with evacuees has exploded and caught fire on a gridlocked interstate. At least one person was killed. A dozen others were injured. Houston is being emptied in advance of Rita's arrival. As many as 2 million people are fleeing the Category 4 storm, but there are big problems. Cars are moving so slowly, some people are running out of gas. Others are getting so frustrated, they're turning around, preferring to sit out the storm at home. New Orleans could be swamped again. Rita has veered slightly away from Houston and toward the Texas-Louisiana border. That means a lot of rain and heavy seas for the areas already devastated by Hurricane Katrina. Officials fear New Orleans' shattered levee system may not be able to handle another hit. Rita is packing winds of over 220 kilometers an hour and is expected to bring a storm surge as high as 6 meters. U.S. President George W. Bush is going to Texas today to check on preparations for Rita. His administration came under heavy criticism over the slow response to Hurricane Katrina. As Rita bears down on the Texas coast, there are fears of an environmental disaster. In addition to the many oil rigs and drilling platforms in the Gulf, there are 87 chemical and petroleum installations along the coast. Workers are being moved out, but the plants themselves may experience heavy damage. That concern is already causing wild fluctuations in the price of gas. One-fifth of U.S. refineries are in Rita's warning zone. Here in Ontario, the price of the pumps is all over the map. Some stations were charging more than $2 a liter yesterday. Others were a dollar less. Things have settled down this morning, but Premier Dalton McGuinty is calling on the Federal Competition Bureau to look into what's going on. A Toronto police officer should find out today whether he will go to jail for a beating that was caught on video. Constable Roy Preston was convicted in July of assaulting Saeed Jama Jama. The Crown is asking for jail time, saying Preston tried to cover up the incident by charging Jama Jama with assaulting a police officer. That charge was later dropped. The OPP has reopened its investigation into the 1959 murder of 12-year-old Lynn Harper. Stephen Truscott was convicted of her killing, but last October the federal justice minister found there had been a miscarriage of justice. The Ontario Court of Appeal is now considering what to do with the case. Truscott was originally sentenced to death, but that was commuted to life in prison. Truscott was paroled in 1969. Ottawa is being urged to put a lot of new money into developing flu drugs. The urgent call from the International Consortium on Antivirals is over fears that a pandemic of drug-resistant influenza could sweep the planet and kill millions. Scientists fear that even Tamiflu, that's the main antiviral being stockpiled now by governments, may become ineffective. And Ontario has backed away from so-called negative option organ donation. That's a proposed system that would have put everyone on the organ donation list. It would have been up to the individuals to take themselves off. Officials in charge of organ donation in this province say that Ontarians are just not ready for this kind of system. And that's a look at a few of the stories we have this morning. Thank you, Kevin, for holding my script.
If I didn't hold on to the scripts, they'd be flying around.
That's right.
We don't need paper cuts happening like that.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jill. It is 8:35 here on Toronto Unlocked, CIUT-FM 89.5. The weather, it's going up to a high of about 20 degrees today. The sun is out. It's breezy, but it's actually quite beautiful. It's going to be a high of 19 tomorrow with some sun and cloud. Sunday, again, just a reminder that this is our last broadcast, but of course, word on the street is coming up this Sunday. We do have a Toronto Unlocked booth. It will be at the northeast corner of Queen's Park. It's actually, I usually rent the booth myself, so you can sell my books or buy my books there. I need the money.
We're selling your books.
Can I do a show like that? Everyone here will sign the books. Anyway, that's coming up on Sunday, yep. Although they are calling for a little bit of rain, so that's a bit worrisome.
Yeah, it's a wonderful event for you to support. If you've never been to Word on the Street, hundreds of thousands of people show up. We had Jane Urquhart on yesterday reminding you that CBC is a major cultural machine in this country in terms of bringing books to the attention of its readership. A lot of books that were booked, if I could put it that way, on various shows on CBC, of course, have not been heard about. So get over to Word on the Street if you possibly can. It'll be a great, great event. In this half hour, more music from Eliana Cuevas is coming up in just a little while. We also like to speak to some of our listeners. This is going to sound like a platitude, but believe me, it's not. The one part of the equation that is so important in public broadcasting is our listeners. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it takes work to listen to the kind of radio that we do, both CIUT and CBC. It's not background music. You have to really attend to what you're hearing from the radio. And the fact that so many people do, that CBC Radio especially has been so successful across the country, is, I think, a tribute to the energies, the effort, and the engagement of our listeners in actually wanting to hear something with fiber on the radio.
Besides the muffins over there.
Yeah. Not just carbs. Anyway, Tom Harrington here. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Andy.
Sean Foley's got his banjo. Are you guys going to do a duet?
Well, you know, I thought maybe we could just we'll just do one or two more choruses of the almost anthemic.
Is that right?
Sporting news.
Apparently.
The Homer and Jethro version of CBC Sports.
Howdy.
All right, just a little recap of the most recent sporting news for you. Well, yesterday, Mike Weir and the Blue Jays were both right on. Blue Jays winning. Mike Weir having a good day on the course, the President's Cup. And the Argos will play Saskatchewan tonight. Then they got to turn back around, work on Wednesday against the Ottawa Renegades here in Toronto. The Chicago White Sox just can't seem to win. And Cleveland just keeps closing in. News, sporting news. I got that good old sporting news.
Yeehaw!
Now we're gonna get a little, well, lusty now. Just saw this story a minute ago. I couldn't resist. Germany will host soccer's next World Cup, and there are plans to open a brothel up. That kind of thing is legal over there. It looks like it's gonna be a bit of a mega store with classical rooms galore. And if you think they're cashing in on all the football hooligans, well, they'll deny it. But it is close by. Sporting news, we got that lusty sporting news.
Yeehaw!
But really, people, it is nearly that hockey time of year. Leafs beating the Habs last night. Everybody's eager to see who's going to make the roster. Steve Thomas, a local favorite. And our friend, Tom Harrington, is here. And we'll do one more chorus together here.
News, sporting news. We got that good old sporting news.
Get
him up and move him out.
Yay.
I feel like I'm at the Stampede.
Now down to business.
Or the pancakes.
That's right. Well, the lemon poppy seed muffins are delicious.
They are good.
They are delicious.
Excellent. So how's the season shaping up?
Well, for the local crowd, we'll begin with those. The Maple Leafs, as we heard, they won last night, beat Montreal 4-3. A couple of things that have struck me about the preseason overall, just talking to Sean about this. I don't know if you've been following what's been happening in the preseason, at least in Canada. These are exhibition games where the bunch of people you've never heard of who won't be on the team are playing. There were 18,000 people in Montreal the other night to watch the Leafs game, or the Canadians play the
Lightning.
That's
called, I think, pent-up demand.
In Ottawa and Toronto the other night, they had 18,000 at the ACC for a preseason game. Montreal... They at a practice, just one of the first practices for the Canadians at a local rink, they had 9,000 people watching practice. So this country is star for hockey. This city is star for hockey. The question is what kind of hockey you're going to get. I think the Leafs are going to be much better than most people think. I wouldn't make a parade route yet, but they're going to be better.
That's been a real – I mean, there's been all the furrowed brows around the off-season deals that have or have not taken place for the Leafs. But you think they'll shape up all right.
Well, just to give you some context, the as people know, there's been this other lockout the last 10 months, which canceled the NHL last season. And because of that, there's a new economic system in place, and the Leafs are basically now playing in the same league as everybody else financially. So they're not able to throw as much money around. And this particular year with this new agreement, because they'd already paid out so much in contracts committed already, they couldn't throw out a lot of money and compete for other names. So they didn't make a lot of big signings here in Toronto like they did in other cities around the NHL, and a lot of fans here were concerned about that. But the reality is the Leafs did secure Eric Lindros, who, if he's healthy and stays healthy, will be a very dynamic player for the team, as will Jason Allison, who was a great player till he got hurt. There are a couple of ifs. They're a bit thin on the blue line. If they're one injury away from having a lot of trouble on defense, Ed Belfour is 40 years old. He's had back surgery. He's their goaltender. He's very good when he's healthy. He can play 60 games and be extremely successful. And they still have Matt Sundin, who I'd still say is one of the top 10 players in the league. There's every reason to believe they'd at least be competitive. And because things have changed in the league with the rules and the economics, it's a much more competitive league, and frankly, I don't know who's going to win it. Nobody knows. It's really hard to guess.
Well, you mentioned what kind of hockey they'll be getting. We've seen a ton of penalties in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to keep that up to crack down on that clutching, grabbing, plotting style?
I think so. It's pretty clear that the players have bought in, and the coaches have. Pat Quinn, the coach of the Maple Leafs, is notorious for complaining. He's one of the worst, even though he's also one of the ones who says there's too much clutching and grabbing going on.
Yeah.
But if he's buying into it, and the players are buying into it, and the league is quite clear that there will be no let up on this, you're going to see, when you start watching hockey this year on Hockey Day in Canada, because we'll be back on the air, you'll see a lot of people going to the penalty box for the first month of the season. There'll be 20, 25 power plays every game. It's going to drive people crazy, but it's going to make for a lot of action, a lot of chances.
Well, you know, some of that has already happened. There have already been a fairly high number of penalties in some of the games, but I've only heard a little bit of grousing on the part of fans about that. I think that fans are buying in, too. They think that if people are cracked down on enough, we may end up with a much more exciting, fluid kind of game.
Well, and you're dealing with, ultimately, behavior modification, and that's got to come from the coaches as well as the officials. The players have to learn to play the game a different way, and they're already doing that in the games. Even the highlights you watch, you see a lot less stick work, a lot more open ice. So it's having an effect, and the league is committed to it. The officials, there's a new head of officials, Stephen Walken, who's a very capable referee, and he's saying we're not relenting. This is what we want. This is what the league wants. This is what the players want.
It's great news, too, because when you think of Sidney Crosby, who's not a big guy.
Right.
If he's going to be the new face of an exciting NHL, they've got to crack down, or other those are the guys that get beat out of the league pre-lockout.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, Kevin, because one of the interesting stories about the Maple Leafs this year and this camp, two stories. One is Steve Thomas, as Sean mentioned, 42 years old, with the politically incorrect nickname of Stumpy, and but very popular player, played with the Leafs once before, would love to finish here. He may play for $500,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but it's not in this new NHL. That's minimum wage now. But he just wants to play in Toronto. He scored a goal last night, but he's competing for a spot on the team with a guy named Kyle Wellwood, who's a very clever player, a small guy like you're talking about, Kevin,
yeah.
Who 2 or 3 years ago would never have a chance to make it in the NHL, but now, with the new rules, does have a chance. He could be a really exciting player.
Yeah, had a big night last night, too. Two goals.
Yes.
So, yeah. What do you think of Thomas's chances, though? Just your opinion.
Well, you know what? I'm a bit of a sentimentalist, and considering what the NHL did to all its fans, much like the CBC is doing to all its fans right now, by alienating them so much, one way to win fans' hearts and minds over in Toronto is to put a guy like Steve Thomas on the team. He is a wonderful story. He's a very popular player, great in the community, and for that alone, put him on the team. But he's a pretty realistic athlete, and he knows he has to perform well in every game to make it. But I have a feeling he has an outside shot at doing it.
Very good.
Tom, thank you very much.
Nice to be here, guys, and well done.
Trying to hold down the pages that are blowing around. There's Tom Harrington, who covers sports normally for the National, and Sean Foley. Just play us one little chord as you walk away.
I just do I like to do the old walking down the old. I found that lick on the street.
You should have left it there, Sean.
Our
Thanks,
own
everybody. Thanks
thank you very much.
Not walking away.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto Community Radio Station. Available across Canada on Saratoga National Satellite Service, channel 826, and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
And one of the things we hope and expect will come out of our lovely association for the last 3 weeks is lots of people will know about lots of broadcasters at CIUT that they may not have been aware of before, like we didn't know Jennifer Leonard. We met her a few days ago for the first time. She's the host of Dialogue, which will be on right after we sign off at 9 o'clock this morning. This is a show that features interviews with scientists, researchers from the U of T, and like Toronto Unlock, Dialogue's run is almost up. Hi, Jennifer.
Yes, hi.
Andy. Why is that?
Well, it's not up for good. It's up temporarily. I'm taking off to do a little stint in San Francisco.
What sort of stint doing what?
I'm going to be working at a design firm called IDEO.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, of course, one of the things that's so interesting about the CIUT volunteers is they all have, apart from the lives here, so many other interesting things going on.
Lots of balls in the air.
Tell us what's coming up then on today's edition of Dialogue.
Today, yes. We have a special time slot for Dialogue right after Toronto Unlocked with an interview I did with a professor of landscape architecture here at U of T. His name is Pierre Bélanger, and he's recently teamed up with, also from U of T, Dr. Owens Wiwa, brother of the slain Ken Saro-Wiwa.
Yeah.
They've designed together a mobile HIV clinic that they are implementing in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yes.
And some of the guests that have fascinated you most in the course of Dialogue doing the show.
Oh, it's been such a great run, really, tapping into the brains here at U of T and the charisma. I talked to someone from the Faculty of Law, Noah Novogradsky. He started the very first international human rights clinic in Canada. And I talked to, say, someone from social linguistics, Sally Talimonte, who specializes in teenagers' English.
Teen speak.
Like that?
Like that, exactly.
Like that?
Marcel Danese, yes. Another professor at the University of Toronto who's also studied that subject and came up with the word, I love this, for the kind of language teens speak, pubilect.
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 Nice.
Not bad, eh?
I know Marcel. I spoke with him, not for dialogue, but he's wonderful. Semiotician.
Yeah, semiotics is his specialty.
Well, and yeah, we got into territory that was foreign to me prior, so analytical chemistry and physics, working in the micro down to the tiniest.
The stuff that doesn't really exist.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this is a vague insult to us, of course, that most of the people who do broadcasting on CIUT don't want to do this for a living. I mean, this is a sidebar. It's not like you're all aspiring to one day be us, are you?
I mean, well, you know, I may be an anomaly because I do. I love radio. and if you recall our last conversation, I said I did try to get into CBC
yes.
many a day. My background's journalism. So I am going to miss radio for the next 6 months, and I hope to be back at it.
You can listen to us.
And strong.
And you can listen online, of course.
One
of the great things about...
I will.
So
yeah. But
great.
Being on air, there's something special.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
of course, that you're going to the United States, they'll really want you. You know, as soon as
you
anybody departs
me?
For the...
No, they really will want you.
Oh, she's left for the States. She's gotten a job there, huh? Let's offer her a job.
Why do we do that in Canada?
Yeah, if you can make it there, then you can come back here.
Okay, that's my strategy.
Jennifer, have a wonderful time in California.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
We'll listen for you after 9 o'clock on CIUT this morning.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Thanks
on
so
Dialogue. Jennifer Leonard, host of Dialogue on CIUT. She'll be back on the air at 89.5 about 15 minutes from now. I'd like to talk to some of you out there, but Jim Curran's going to tell us about traffic first.
We'll begin with a problem that's been with us through much of the morning, and that's on Highway 427. There's still a delay, earlier accident, southbound Collector Lanes. This is near Dundas. Vehicles have been on the side. And caution now on the 401, a delay going east through Weston Road, Collector Lanes. We've had a transport broken down, blocking the left lane.
We've got a little a family here, and one of the kids has been dancing to music, which is only in his own head. But it's been fantastic. Although Eliana Cuevas will be joining us in just a couple of minutes with some more music.
This lowers the demographic for CIUT enormously to have these three-year-olds here. So thank you very, very much. That's
and according
great.
To Patrick Watson, though, that's the people we're aiming our programming at these days. When did he become such an old fart?
We are now going out into the parking lot of CIUT for a remote broadcast. That's Mary Weens. Let's hear it for Mary Weens, CBC reporter. Locked out. And we're asking people to step up to our microphone because, as I said a little while ago, the equation we don't hear enough from, the Vox Box does not function here at CIUT, are the listeners who are so much a part of the equation called public broadcasting. So introduce yourself, say hello, and just tell us what this has all meant to you.
My name is Nikki Waronka, and I was thrilled to find out that we could still get the team in the morning. And I think it's a creative, positive reaction to a nasty situation. And as a high school teacher, I've been in difficult situations, and it's nice to see to be able to get your message out.
My name is Andrew Rosselet. I'm a first-year engineering student. I have a class in about 15 minutes to get to. And
that's why I
sent you a note, Andrew.
Don't interrupt him.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
When I first heard about the... the strike at CBC, I was worried, well, how will people get their message out? Anyway, so it's great to be down here today supporting public broadcasting and having the message out of what people want to be said.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tim Little. I just want to say it's fantastic to see this collaboration between CIUT and Locked Out Guild members, and it's really kept us connected. We're just desperate about what we're going to do next week.
Tim, you come from a small town, yes?
Owen Sound, that's right.
Owen Sound. Oh, yeah. Matt Galloway comes from that neighborhood as well.
No kidding.
Hi, Matt. He's back there.
Hello, Matt.
No, I mean,
it's the center of the universe.
It's really important. Sheila Rogers is making this comment to us the other day, having crossed the country from Vancouver and stopped in all sorts of small towns around Saskatchewan, Manitoba. We have 60 different signals to choose from in Toronto, but it's hard to imagine what it means to people who live in smaller centers not to be able to get their CBC.
That's right. Up in Grey and Bruce County, it's CBC or not much else, and you gain a real appreciation for it when you're outside the GTA, especially. But here in Toronto, the dial just keeps spinning until we get back to you guys.
Tim Little, thank you very much.
My name is Terry Rowan. I've been listening to Metro Morning probably for about 5 years. When the snow starts falling, I don't know what I'm going to do without Kevin's bicycle report when I start riding my bike into work. I also work for the Writers Guild of Canada, so I have a professional kind of connection with the CBC as well. We represent writers for CBC, so.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
And I hopefully I'll be back on the air with the bike report soon.
Excellent.
Because it's getting cold.
It's getting cold.
Hi, my name is Helen Breslauer, and I was delighted to find out that you were here at CIUT because I'm a CBC listener for many, many years to Metro Morning. I used to travel a lot in my work, and the most wonderful thing was to be able to find CBC on the dial no matter where I was and have that same warm, fuzzy feeling that I have at home when I hear you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm Bob Frankford. I'm a one-time member of the legislature, and although I'm not in elected politics currently, I think once you're there, you're always a political junkie. I really miss an important part of the local media around political stories. I miss John McGrath on Metro Morning and on other shows.
And John's around here somewhere, so maybe you can go shake his hand in a second, too.
Yeah.
What is, I have to ask if you don't mind, what would the attitude be in the House of Commons and perhaps the legislature as well, knowing that the CBC will not be holding your guys' feet to the fire as a one-time MPP? Will they miss us or will they be relieved?
Well, it's...
Oh.
We'll miss you, and it's time you came back.
That voice belonged to Jack Layton. Jack, we appreciate your presence, but this is not guaranteed good coverage. We can't be bought that cheaply, but it's nice to have you here. Thanks very much.
My name is John Liss, and I'm inviting Andy Barry to walk with war resistors from the Vietnam War and the demonstration tomorrow at the U.S. Consulate, 1 o'clock. Apparently, the steelworkers are inviting us to a brunch around 11:30 at their place at 25 Cecil Street. We're supporting the U.S. War resistors from the Iraq War and calling for U.S. troops out of Iraq. So, please, people, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, U.S. Consulate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Terry Quiroz, and I just want to say that I support you guys all along the way. I'm a faithful listener of the CBC and also a TV watcher. And this is what I wrote to my member of parliament, amongst all other things, supporting you. I go to bed with Peter Mantrich, and I wake up with Andy Berry.
To Peter's wife, Cynthia, and my wife, Mary, I hope they'll understand. You promised to be discreet when we got together and just broken your promise. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Dave Fennick. I'm from Toronto. What I really miss about CBC is Kevin Sylvester's ranting.
All right.
You mean my reasoned and thoughtful approach.
Yeah, exactly. But you have a lot of good things to say.
Would you like to supply this guy with the rant of your choice this morning? This is right.
How about why hasn't the NHL? Have you seen the My NHL campaign that they've come out with, where some hunky guy had some bimbo-esque woman cover him with equipment? This is supposed to attract the fans back. I think the My is short for misogynist. Clearly, the NHL's given up on half the fans. There's a mini rant.
Right on
just
cue.
For you,
this guy,
Dave.
Can just carry on. Yes, sir.
I'm Wayne Roberts. He used to do a labor column for Metro Morning in the days of Joe Côté called Rank and File.
Right. Hi,
and
Wayne.
It's great to see the
How
Rank and File out here today.
Good to see you.
Hi. I'm Chai Kaliwar, and the Washington consensus is coming to Canada. Ottawa is trying to put journalists on contract, and they already put the small claims court judges on contract, too.
I want to know what we can do to keep you on the air until this strike is over.
Oh.
Yes. How can we help to do that?
We've decided, actually, to conclude right now. At some point or another, this is going to end, and when we go back to our regular jobs, we need to be properly rested, refreshed, and ready.
Well, but thank you very much for being here.
Mm. Jim, he's got to look at traffic. Are we finished? We done? We all got it, I think.
Yes, thanks to everybody who's shown up.
I'm sorry. We'd love to give everyone...
Thank you. Write your MP.
I'm being cued and being told to write your member of parliament.
Or the Prime Minister.
That'll do, too.
You don't even have to have a stamp. It's free if it's addressed to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are postcards and petitions and everything else. You can check out the CMG website.
Thanks so much to all of you for your comments and all of the emails we received as well. They've been absolutely wondrous. We're not quite done yet. Jim Curran's got to look at traffic.
Oh, all right. Well, one more. We'll look again, 401. For those who could not be with us and perhaps stuck on the 401, eastbound 401 through Weston Road, Collector Lane's left lane has been blocked. All in all, hasn't been a bad morning. And thanks once again for everyone coming out to be part of our family here.
Wrap up sports for us, could you, Sean?
We'll do. The Toronto Maple Leafs winning one against the Montreal Canadiens. Nice to see those guys skating against each other again. 4-3, the final score there. Blue Jays beating the Mariners as other pennant races continue throughout the major leagues. Tonight, you've got some CFL action. The Argos at Taylor Field in Regina against the Rough Riders. And finally, Mike Weir will try to have just as good a day as he did yesterday at the President's Cup. And thanks again, everybody, for good old times.
And Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Rita, rather, is a story to watch today. It's a Category 4 hurricane expected to hit the Gulf Coast in Texas and Louisiana sometime this weekend. And so much heartfelt thanks to everyone. Thank you.
We are into our final minutes of Toronto Unlocked right now. But before we say goodbye, we have some more music for you. Jeremy Ledbetter is the leader of Cane Fire, a local Caribbean Latin jazz band. Cane Fire's music was first played here in CIUT, first time ever on a show that airs Friday nights called Island Breeze. They have a new album which will be launched on October 13th at Lula Lounge, and Eliana Cuevas will be performing with them. So here are Jeremy and Eliana with a song they wrote together. It's called Can I Mean?
I see your body very far away in clear water that is everywhere. My thirst, I must try to reach you while you are still there. If I only could know water the way I know air. So today is all about solidarity. So I'm gonna ask you guys to participate with us in the song before I start the next verse. Thank you.
I don't think any of us could ever put into words what these last 3 weeks have meant to us. There are a lot of people to thank for making this happen, and I have to start right here on the campus of the University of Toronto. The campus caterers, Sodexo Monex, provided the coffee this morning. The Arbor Room at Hart House pitched in for the muffins, cinnamon buns, and juice. The CMG Food Committee, led by Janet Fairbridge, temporary muffin maker and associate director of program production services, also added to the muffin mix. Just wonderful.
I personally want to thank ProCut Concrete Cutting again for just a couple more minutes, guys, and you can take on St. George Street again. For those of us who have worked and volunteered here at 91 St. George Street, from the minute we arrived, it's been absolutely warm, supportive. It's been fun. It's actually reinfused a lot of that sense of fun that we got out of radio when we started in this, unfortunately, what in many ways has become an industry. Joe Clark the other day at Massey Hall said that CBC people can be annoying. Yes, Joe Clark supports the CBC, despite what certain senators have to say. I hope I'm not offending any of my colleagues by saying that, yep, we can be pretty annoying. Mr. Clark was right. We can be mouthy, opinionated. Some of us can rant. In particular, Brian Birchall never fazed by that when we showed up and had rather raucous story meetings and hollering sessions and everything else. Or maybe he just didn't mention it. We'll find out later. But Brian and everyone else here at CIUT, all the other hosts who so kindly moved their schedules around for us, it's been unbelievably fun.
I don't think an invading army has been ever more warmly welcomed than we were by CIUT. To the people who helped put these shows together, who booked the guests, wrote the scripts, coordinated the masses of volunteers, got up at 5 o'clock to bring news reports to the studio when we couldn't get to the computer. People who stayed up half the night to set up the special broadcast this morning and said, you know, day after day, yes, I can do this. We think we tried to keep count. Behind these bodies you see at the microphone and the voices you hear on the air, we figure about 150 producers, journalists, and technicians at some point had some part in what's gone on the air. And that's folks from radio, TV, and online. Thank you so much. And now to you here with us in the parking lot and the listeners who tuned in here at CIUT 89.5, those who listened on CFRU 93.3 at the University of Guelph, thank you so much for letting us be part of your mornings again. We have one last request. It doesn't say be choked up here. That was spontaneous. There are MPs.
I'm actually pinching him under the table. Come on in.
There are MPs, some in Toronto, that are saying that they aren't hearing many complaints about the CBC being missing from people's lives. So we are asking, this is one opportunity between elections to be heard from. If you haven't already, start complaining. Write your MP. Let your voices be heard loud and clear, not merely about the lockout, but that public radio, public television, public broadcasting in this country is indispensable to you and to this country being a country. Thank you for the cards, the emails. Thank you for the muffins. Thank you for listening. I'm Andy Berry. This has been the final edition of Toronto Unlocked on CIUT 89.5 FM.